much about.
When John Kennedy thought of going to the moon, he didn't say, it's too far to get there. We shouldn't even try. Our people answered his call and rose to the challenge. And today, an American flag still marks the surface of the moon.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is Tranquility Base. The Eagle has landed. Jesus H. Christ. Houston. We're on the f***ing moon. Over.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy that. We cannot believe you are on the f***ing moon. Repeat. Cannot f***ing believe it. Over. You're cleared to hook up lunar equipment conveyor to walk, f***ing walk on the moon. Over. Holy living. Are you f***ing believing this? Over. We read you. Over. I absolutely am standing on the surface of f***ing moon. I'm talking to you from the surface of the f***ing moon. Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
And now.
Holy shit, Tranquility. Holy mother of over.
Our feature presentation.
See, that's what it would sound like if I were an astronaut.
It makes sense.
Really?
Really? That's exactly how it should sound.
That's our tribute to the moon landing that we do every year on July 20th. And you're right. If you're standing there on the moon, ordinary words would fail you on how to describe the feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry to be the dumb one, but July 20th was...
That's the day. That's the day they landed on the moon. Yes, exactly. So every year I drag out the tribute and enjoy it very much.
Yeah. But that's the end of the tribute, right?
Oh, we've got... Buzz Aldrin will be here for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're looking forward to that.
It'll be 5 minutes. It just feels like 2 hours.
Before we get to your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067, Alex, Phillip, you guys hang on. We are going to get right to you for Kevin and Bean's Wednesday? What's the date today? Tuesday, right?
Tuesday
edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Quick story. I was very excited about two skydiving seniors die while chutes tangle in Pennsylvania. I wanted to get to that. The 70 and the 75-year-old whose parachutes tangled and they both fell to the ground dead. But yesterday's death corner was such a bummer that I thought I'd do something happy and cheerful today. And you might have seen this on the news because it's everywhere because it's so exciting. Mexican authorities have arrested a man who was trying to smuggle 18 monkeys into the country by carrying them in a girdle.
Oh, yeah, a girdle. No.
How about that?
Man, do I know what monkeys down there.
18!
They're the crazy-looking little monkeys, too. They look like tribbles from the old Star Trek TV series or guinea pigs, you know?
TT monkeys, right?
Yeah, they're TT monkeys, exactly. And apparently they are very cheap to buy in Peru, which I think is where the man came from. But they are very expensive to buy in Mexico. So it's worth trying. I mean, you buy them for like, you know, $50 or whatever it is. You sell them for like $1,000. I mean, it's one of those kind of deals. There's such a huge difference between the prices in each country. So the guy wrapped them in socks and then put them in a girdle around his waist. And as is so often the case in these stories, by the way. He was acting nervously.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically gave himself away. But how could you not if you've got 18 monkeys in your pants?
Especially, you know, they start like scratching or whatever. They're not happy. They fight with something, with the one next to them. All of a sudden, you got a full-blown war in your pants. That's really that's tough to keep your cool.
I mean, I guess I understand why you would try it because there's so much money to be made. But you can't be pleased with that decision, putting all those monkeys in your pants, right?
I can't imagine, no.
I can't imagine that's something you look forward to. You just, you know, hold your breath and hope to get through it. But animal trafficking, a serious problem in Mexico, and they have been cracking down recently. And they did find this guy yesterday, and he is definitely the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day.
And this guy had this to say.
I got me a monkey.
He did. I got me 18 of them. Yeah, good times.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call, we put you on the air, and we give you a prize.
Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Our new intern is not so much with the paperwork, but if it's the same as yesterday, it should be tickets for an advanced screening of Dinner with Schmucks, yep. which will be the night before it opens. So you see it on the 29th, and it opens on the 30th, starring the great Steve Carell and the great Paul Rudd. That's your prize for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. And let's start with our man, Alex, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alex, thanks for calling. What It Do, man?
Hey, What It Do, guys?
What It Do?
Well, apparently, the city of Bell, so a very poor city in, like, South L.A., 37,000 residents, their CAO of the city, like, basically a city manager, mm-hmm. makes $800,000 a year.
Dude!
Really?
How's that possible?
How is that possible?
How is that possible?
He makes almost double President Obama.
Wow. Yeah, the president makes $400,000. How is it possible that the leader of Bell gets them? It can't be possible.
37,000 citizens.
I guess the city, like, everyone's in an outrage, obviously. They go to the city council, and the council says, we'll deal with it next week.
Where did you hear this? I'd like a source on that number.
I work overnights, and I listen to a lot of, like, news on the radio. There's mm-hmm. nothing else really on, and it was on KNX, and they just kept reporting it. And I just
If you hear it on the news, it's got to be true. You can't say something false on the radio.
I got to back Alex up on this. I didn't hear the figure, but there is a big scandal about overpaid city workers.
Yeah, and I didn't hear the city, but I heard the same story.
All right, good times. Well, I've just made a career change. I've just decided I'm going to go run Bell. That's my next job.
That dude is running Bell, and he's getting twice what President Obama is making.
Exactly.
Used to. I think that's changing very soon.
Wow.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air with us like Philip has. He's on line two. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What
How you
do?
Doing, man?
Hi.
Hey, yeah, I was just calling on the Lindsay Lohan deal, man. I think it's a bunch of baloney. I think she should do the full time, instead of, just getting whatever she's going to get, like 20 days, maybe not even that,
Today's the day she's supposed to go turn herself into the court, then she's going to go to jail. A lot of people are saying 25% of the sentence. Some are saying 10%. But you know what the people keep saying, Philip, is that if it were you, it would be the same way. Do you not buy that?
Nah, I don't buy that. Because, I've been in jail, not for nothing major, but I've been in jail before. And, I did 45 days. They gave me 45 days. I did the 45 days.
Wow.
And it was crowded, But at the same time, money talks. If you got money, money's going to help you out,
She didn't have much money.
Yeah, I don't think money is helping her at all right now. The judge gave her no favors. It's not like she did her, it's not like there were any concessions made because she was Lindsay Lohan or she was well known, from what you understand, anyway.
Yeah,
I understand your frustration. I mean, there are lots of people who agree with you that say, what's the point of giving somebody a sentence if it doesn't mean anything?
Yeah,
I totally get that. And it is a little bit arbitrary. It's like the refs in soccer determining the overtime. It's like you have no idea how it's going to go until it goes.
It's just a guess.
Exactly.
It's just a guess. Exactly. Yeah. So I understand your frustration. I wonder what it must be like for Lindsay today. I wonder if she's got that fight or flight mentality right now. Like she's thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it. Find my passport. I'm going to Mexico or something,
That'd be awesome.
The chase, slow speed chase.
Yes. Although hers wouldn't be slow speed. Lindsay would be a high speed chase.
I honestly think from an addict's perspective, and I don't know what she's really thinking, but if she's allowed to take Dilaudid in jail, I don't think she's sweating it that much.
Yeah, I don't either. Plus, lesbian.
Good point. Yeah, that might not be so much on her mind as it is on yours.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, lesbian's fine, except if you get to choose. But if you're in prison, maybe you don't, and maybe you don't want to be, maybe you don't want to be raped.
Right, but if you're, of course not, but if you're hetero and you go in jail, then now you're forced to be lesbian, right? At least she's got a
got
step
leanings.
Up. Right. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
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 What did you do? I had to use a code name because we're right here across the street from the women's jail, and we're waiting for people to start showing up. They already got a TV crew down here doing a little pre-interview stuff. We're planning on hanging signs on the side of the building.
What will they say?
What's up, Fire Crotch?
Yes.
What's up, Fire Crotch? That's fantastic.
We've been waiting for you. before I was hired on, they said a couple years ago when Paris came over here, They had some good signs up there.
Now, when you say hired on, what does that mean? Who do you work for?
I don't know if I can say who I work for because I'm not supposed to be on the phone right now. But I work for a gear manufacturing company.
A gear manufacturing company?
Yes, sir.
So you're there in an unofficial capacity.
Correct. Oh, no, I'm not camping out just to wait to see her. No. I'm not into that stuff.
Okay.
But I just come to work, and then we're going to start hollering from across the street. Hopefully one guy brings a bullhorn.
Okay.
Sounds right. Like a good day.
Yeah,
it will be a good day. But your actions with Lindsay are not part of your job. You just happen to work near there.
Oh, correct.
Okay.
All right. We're working across the street, and we have one of those big shipping doors.
International Man of Mystery here on the line.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. Hey, I'm glad you used a fake name, because who knows, with all the crazy stuff you're doing, what could happen to you.
You're putting a sign up, dude.
I know. All right. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for the calls.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Look good, smell good, taste good, is good.
I don't know. I would question that. We have a NFL quarterback in the studio today, San Diego Chargers, Philip Rivers.
Well,
How about that? All right.
That's big time right there.
Gives us something to talk about other than baseball.
Yeah.
So good. Football's on the way. It's maybe a month and a half away, but it's on the way.
At least.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub, perhaps, maybe.
We hope.
It's possible.
She played shaky on 24. Oh, no, wait. That's just try to get her on our show. She's shaky. Okay.
Yeah, it was rough. Lindsay Lohan going to jail. Full coverage.
Excellent.
The most painful thing that's ever happened to you? We've been talking about this for a couple days, and it's rough. It's not going to be a fun conversation.
No, people have amazing stories.
Are the Taliban training monkeys to fight?
Are they getting into the country in their pants?
Exactly.
Part two of that question.
Mr. T's Kitchen Revolution on the way.
I ordered the Flavor Wave Turbo Oven last night.
Yeah,
I did. Really, really did.
Right.
I really did. I can't wait. It looks like the greatest product ever.
Somehow infomercials do that to you. At the very beginning of them, you look at it and you go, okay, this looks stupid. Who would ever? And then by the end of it, you go, I might need that.
I need to call that.
Yeah. They do work.
And we also have Thanks for That Tweet Bean.
How dare you?
On this morning's show as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Unbelievable.
And it's 5:52.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman and all of his alter egos join us in studio now with our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Oh, tragic news today. Apparently, the Bristol Palin, Levi Johnston, two kids raising a baby reality show may not happen after all.
Oh.
But they're still getting married, right?
Not if there's no show.
What?
Screw that. I don't know whether they're getting married or not, but there had been rumors that the reason the two of them got together is because they wanted to do a reality show that they've been shopping around. And apparently it's true that they've at least been talking to people about it, because the New York Post has a story and they've interviewed one cable television executive that said the problem with the couple and them taking their lives public is that they are, and their quote is, severely lacking in the personality department.
Yes, ooh, very true.
We sort of knew that before, didn't we?
Yeah. But I guess it's hard to make a reality show. First of all, shows are bad for the most part. But what can save them sometimes, a la Kardashians or something, if there's enough personality, enough drama going on within a situation, you can make
or
it
hotness.
Work. Right.
Or hotness. And they don't have this at all.
And this couple has neither. So,
now, Ralph, I have two questions, because that's my job, is follow-up.
Okay.
One, as you said, two kids. Has it been confirmed that she is pregnant again? I know that had been rumored.
These two kids.
These two kids
raising a baby.
Yeah, there was a rumor. That's
there was a rumor that that's why they suddenly got engaged after being estranged.
I have heard nothing more along those lines.
No. And the other thing is, I can't imagine if Ms. Palin is really going to run for president that she's going to allow a reality TV show featuring her daughter, because it just is offering up ammo, you know, to be part of the political grist.
Well, I don't know how much say-so she has over Bristol's actions.
Yeah.
I assume she's supporting her.
She could have her rubbed out.
Because these two got engaged without her knowledge
blessing.
That's
a blessing. That. Yeah.
That's a honked up family right there.
And as Kevin mentioned, she could have her rubbed out.
There is that.
She could have her shot from a helicopter.
She could.
Like a wolf.
It's happened.
Speaking of Sarah, did you read about her tweet fiasco?
No.
The misspelling?
Bean told me about that.
But the refudiate?
Yes.
There's no such word as refudiate when talking about how the peaceful Muslims should refudiate the building of a mosque near Ground Zero. So then she pulled that and she went back and said they should refute the building of a mosque, which isn't that's not the context
the
she's looking for at all. She's looking for repudiate. She's desperately reaching for repudiate.
Right.
Can't find it. So people keep mocking her, and so she came out with another tweet. I wrote it down here, which is great. She said, refudiate. misunderestimate, wee-weed up. English is a living language. Shakespeare liked to coin new words, too.
So she's Shakespeare now?
So now she's Shakespeare.
All right. Well, I didn't know that.
I just want to know.
Hilarious.
Kevin, has she asked you to be her running mate yet?
She has not.
Because you two on the same ticket, would vote seven times. I would get new identities and keep voting.
How dare you.
Be the best acceptance speeches ever from you two. More Mel Gibson stuff. Apparently a 26-year-old Polish fitness model named Violet Kowal has come forward and said
I want only pie.
Sorry. Just had a disaster over here.
She said that she had a three-month-long affair with Mel while Mel was dating Oksana Grigorieva. So he left his wife, Robin, to be with this Oksana and then was sleeping with this Polish fitness model behind Oksana's back.
Oh, I hope there are tapes.
She says he also called her up screaming and ranting.
Oh.
And after the relationship became public, he called her and said he would make me suffer, said Violet.
Uh-oh.
No word on whether she has any recordings of their phone calls, but she does say she has paper records of calls she received from Gibson's home and mobile phone numbers as proof of their relationship. And, so things get worse and worse for Mel.
He maybe shouldn't have left his wife. He maybe should have just stuck with that.
He found one that would put up with him for 30 years.
Yeah.
Seems like he had a pretty good deal, given the volatile nature of his relationships. He sure likes the Iron Curtain, though, doesn't he?
He does.
I was noticing he doesn't like to date Americans, that's for sure.
Poles and Russians and... Russians and Poles.
I wonder why. I wonder if it's because it's so much more difficult to get information out, you know?
Not as chatty as you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait,
in America,
hold on a sec.
In America, the women run to the press immediately.
Right.
Oh, I see.
He's not...
You think you got the KGB clamp down on
him? He's not a good guy. Yeah, maybe.
Lindsay Lohan! Heading to the clink today. The only thing is, she doesn't yet believe it. Friends tell TMZ.com that she is completely convinced that her new attorney, Robert Shapiro, will just get her out of the sentence.
Oh, boy.
So she thinks today she's not going to jail?
That's what she thinks, Kevin.
All right.
Well, here's the thing. What may have given her false hope is that Shapiro did meet with Judge Marshall Revelle yesterday around 4 p.m. And we can only assume they were talking about that very fact. However, TMZ says the district attorney wasn't aware of the meeting, nor did anyone from the DA's office attend it. So that doesn't look good for the prospect of Lindsay getting out of surrendering herself, because they would have to be there and sign off on any sort of deal that was made with the judge and Shapiro.
What time does she have to surrender herself? Does it say that?
8:30 this morning.
All right.
Pacific time. So what is it now? Almost 6 o'clock? So in about 2.5 hours.
She can't see this, of course, but this is potentially the best thing that's happened to her in a long, long time. I mean, she needs to hit the reset button on her life.
Yeah. Oh, does she, Bean?
She does.
Bean says yes.
You know what? Sometimes rehab can be bad for you, Bean. Sometimes things can go horribly wrong in your life when you try to clean up. Just ask Rachel Yucatel.
Uh-oh.
She was in line to be one of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice contestants.
Right.
But she said before she went to do Celebrity Apprentice, she wanted to clean up, so she signed up for Celebrity Rehab. Now, Donald Trump says he's no longer interested in Rachel Yucatel being on the show.
Really?
Yes. Donald Trump said publicly yesterday she's made a terrible decision, and now they have zero interest in having her on the show.
She shouldn't clean up?
No, Lisa.
That's bizarre. Usually,
or
think
maybe she shouldn't do it on a reality show.
There'd be more interest
maybe
in
that's
her,
what
you'd
it
think.
Is. Yeah, you'd think it would
from his standpoint.
Build her public persona to a point where there'd be more interest for the show, but he is no longer interested.
And we thought he just wanted her on the show because she was hot and he wanted to bang her. Apparently that's not what's going on.
Well, maybe he thinks he has less of a chance to bang her if she's sober. And I think he may have a point.
Good point.
I like my blondes drunk. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Carlos Santana. 63 years old today. One of the greats.
He's
right?
still doing the Vegas thing, right? They have a full-time residency in Vegas. He's one of those performers now that's there most of the year.
Got a bunch of people throwing their hands up, not really knowing what you're talking about here. But if you say so, we'll go with it. Drummer Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols is 54 years old. A lot of legendary rockers today. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 46 years old. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, 44 years old today. It's a musical cornucopia.
Sort of super group, right?
It really is. And they can have as their front singer Elliot Yameen of American Idol, who turns 32 years old today. Actor Josh Holloway, who was so good as Sawyer on Lost, he is 41 years old today. Actress Sandra, oh my God, it's coming this way, is 39 years old. And Giselle Bundchen, supermodel Giselle Bundchen, celebrates her 30th birthday today.
Who does she date, Kevin? I can't remember that actor. Very popular guy in that movie. What's his name?
It's the wrong guy. Sorry.
Yeah, Bar Raffaelli is you're thinking of.
Yes.
Used to date him. Yeah.
That was a good try.
That would have been a good DiCaprio joke had I been correct on that. Sorry.
Who's the right girlfriend?
I recuse myself.
You got an hour to work on. You refudiate your own answer?
I refudiate myself. I do.
Shakespeare?
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show.
My taste buds is going wild.
Thank you, Mr. T. You're going to have to hold on a second for Mr. T's Kitchen Revolution coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And a real live NFL star on the program today from your San Diego Chargers, Philip Rivers, joining us later on. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, here's the problem with tweeting. Tweeting has given everyone the idea that everything that comes out of their mouth is good and needs to be shared.
And interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that you think you should probably just keep to yourself.
I agree.
Because no one cares.
I agree with you 100%.
So our man Bean, who tweets a lot, believes that his stuff is very genuine, very good, very needed, very necessary, very appreciated.
Well,
999 out of 1,000 thoughts I never put down.
Exactly. That was exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
The problem is there's so much crap in his head that when he sorts through it all, he still finds crap that he thinks is gold.
And that's why we bring you
that tweet. Bean!
And we have Mr. Announcer Man. Hello, Mr. Announcer Man.
Hello.
I didn't know we had Mr. Announcer Man either. I was just as surprised as you were, Ralph.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that. We have thanks for that.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean!
And we're ready for the first tweet, please.
Wow! I'm now wondering if I fell asleep yesterday and just dreamed I went to see Inception. And my pillow is gone.
Oh, my.
That's one of the, that's the one that he thought out of the 999 was good. See, because the movie's about dreaming.
Right.
So. Yeah.
All right, but the pillow is gone was kind of funny.
No.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Latest Fed study. Flat-faced pugs, bulldogs, have greater air travel risk than longer-snouted dogs.
Now, that was a public service announcement for us.
Tweet.
For other people who may have dogs like mine, that you should not fly them in cargo because they die at an alarming rate.
Right.
Why has nobody pointed out that Carrie Underwood married Mike Fisher, making her another Carrie Fisher?
God.
Because there's
stop
an
it. We don't need that. We don't need explanation. We don't need explanation. We don't need more.
Right, but
we
now
don't need
her
more.
Name
we get
is
it.
Carrie Fisher.
Understand? Don't care.
Seems like that's
a tweet. Bean.
In my dream last night, James Brown gave me the best interview right before he died, but the tape recorder hadn't worked.
That was terrible.
That's tweet.
Bean.
I was very upset by that. To lose it exclusive like that with the Godfather of Soul.
Just before midnight on the U.S. West Coast. Can't believe I forgot to wish everyone a merry half Christmas. June 25th means 6 months away.
Oh, wow! God.
You know, you don't always have to tweet anything.
Wow!
Sometimes you can just not.
Man, I want to punch you right in the face.
I go days without tweeting.
Well, why do you tweet
then
that?
That's what you end
because
up tweeting?
Who do you think people read that and go, wow, that is really something?
There are a lot of half Christmas fans.
There
it's
aren't.
Getting bigger.
There
it's
aren't.
Getting bigger every year.
Nope.
It is. It's getting bigger every
half
year.
Half Christmas.
That tweet.
Bean. Wow. Say, Leroy, the creature from the Black Lagoon is your father.
Oh, my God.
P.S. That's a very obscure Jimmy Castor Bunch song.
I didn't add the P.S., but that's what it is. That's the lyrics from a Jimmy Castor song that I was listening to at the time, which just struck me as hilarious and a great, great funk song.
And who was interested in that?
Difficult to tell. I think it reached a lot of very satisfied readers.
That's that tweet.
Bean! Happy first day of winter to about 1 billion people on Earth today. Ho, ho, ho!
I just want
to see, because for us, for us, when it's the first day of summer, for many people around the world, it's the first day of winter. Let's not forget about them.
That's that tweet.
Do you have anything in your mind that we care about?
Not yet.
I don't generally believe celebrity endorsements, but when Oreos say they are Milk's favorite cookie, that sounds about right.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? You write that knowing that people are going to go, wow, that's ridiculous.
People are going to go, you know what? I think milk and Oreos is the best combination of items ever.
Right.
Coke Zero and Diet Coke existing at the same time makes as much sense as Jake Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire being different people.
Oh my God. Okay, that was kind of funny.
Oh, Lisa. Yes.
I appreciate that, Lisa.
Probably a gem in every pile of doo-doo somewhere.
Maybe.
It's not the gem.
We haven't come across
that's
it yet.
As good as it gets.
No,
right,
but that's,
you're not a minor.
For Bean?
You need to raise your standards a little bit. You don't just go, hey, because the guy that wished us a happy half Christmas, is that what he called
BS.
It? Yeah, right.
That was kind of
so
funny.
Compared to that, this is good? No. No.
That's that tweet.
Bean. Man. I really hate that Christmas shoes song.
That's a terrible song. You guys have to agree with me on that.
You know it's July, right?
I know, but I listen to Christmas music year-round, so it came up.
But don't you
icon.
Think to yourself, hey, I listen to Christmas music all year long, but most people don't, so they won't find that interesting.
Doesn't make that song any better.
I guess only one of us is listening to the new Foghat album right now. So who's full of wind now?
No.
Come on.
That's
come
that
on.
Tweet.
Bean. I hate to brag.
Come on.
Sometimes my life is pretty sweet.
First of all, that makes your life sweet. Second of all, you don't have any idea. Maybe there are a lot more people than you listening to it. You don't know.
That was really predominantly a burn to Psycho Mike because I knew he would actually look at that and go, oh, I'd love to be here
the
new Foghat album.
Kruger. I'm scorched all over.
Oh, man.
That's that tweet.
Oh, you.
What's the most painful thing that's ever happened to you? We'll have that discussion next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The most painful thing that ever happened to A-Team star Mr. T was having to do an infomercial for the Flavorware Turbo Oven. I couldn't feel worse for Mr. T because you know how much we love Mr. T and how awesome he is.
We had a man. He was great. Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Such positive, amazing positive energy.
He sure does.
And what happened? This is a 30-minute infomercial?
It is, and I feel like he needs the money, and it's so sad to see him beaten down like this. Here's the open of the Flavorware Turbo Oven, which, by the way, no disrespect to the products because I did order mine last night. I'm psyched. I can't wait to get it. But poor Mr. T just sounds like he's barely hanging on.
Now to learn more, let's join actress and TV personality Darla Hahn.
Anyone?
Who?
Darla Hahn? Anyone?
Along with her very special guest, TV action hero and American icon, the one and only Mr. T.
Mr. T comes bursting through the door without, just breaks his way onto the set, for starters. And that's the last sign of life you'll see from Mr. T for the rest of the half hour.
You could have used the doorknob.
Sorry, Darla. A hooly guy like me just couldn't wait that long. When you invited me to a delicious home-cooked meal, one that will keep my waistline beautiful.
Oh, no.
What can you expect?
By the way, a professional actor, Mr. T, please enjoy his line reading.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. T. We'll eat in just a few minutes, just as soon as you pick what you want.
Darla, are my eyes deceiving me, or am I looking at the frozen food section at the supermarket?
Well, I didn't know what you'd want, so you get to choose from chicken, steak, burgers, fish, ribs.
But these are all frozen solid. I pity the fool who tries to get this down.
Oh, Mr. T.
Oh, that's what she said, first of all. Oh, no.
Didn't he used to fight Rocky? I mean, yes. How far has Mr. T fallen,
what
right?
What is this? This is an oven? Is that what
I want to eat right now. Not in a few hours. How long do I have to wait?
In just minutes from the time you pick what you want.
You're joking, right?
Just humor me, Mr. T.
Okay. I'll take a nice, juicy, medium rare steak.
Okay, now that's the spirit.
Yeah, the Flavorware Turbo Oven, basically, is it's like a convection oven, but you can take something right out of the freezer and put it in 10 minutes later, it's ready to eat. I mean, it's a pretty incredible technology.
It's so funny because Bean, when he first saw this, he said, oh, I saw Mr. T doing an infomercial. It's so sad. And he didn't mention anything about the product.
Nope.
Now that he's watched it to bring in highlights, he wants the product.
He bought the product.
I did buy the product. Mr. T is a hell of an actor, by the way.
Now, Mr. T, please do me the honor of wearing this apron because you're going to be cooking too.
This is the strangest dinner invite ever. You want me to cook? Are you sure?
Wow.
And what's going through? And by the way, Mr. T, he's not wearing his camouflage and his chains. He's out there in like a polo shirt. It looks like he's a Sears employee.
He still
out
has
there.
A mohawk though, right?
He does still have the mohawk, okay. Yeah. Right. All right, let's see how his meat turned out.
Oh. Dinner's ready, Mr. T. Let's see. Can you smell that?
Yes, I can.
By the way, she also talks, I don't know who this chick is, but she talks to Mr. T like he's either six or retarded.
Yeah, or
Mr.
both.
Mr. T, open up the hangar. Here comes the airplane. I mean, it's almost like she's feeding him, right? It's really, it's so condescending the way she talks to an American icon.
What happened to Mr. T?
What happened to Mr. T?
It looks great and brown beautifully on the outside.
Oh, boy.
It's perfectly done.
This is delicious. My taste buds is going wild.
Yes.
You're right, darling. It was fast.
Come on.
Should we send him money or what?
A bake sale?
What do we do?
Poor Mr. T.
What happened to Mr. T?
Now, the beautiful thing about the Flavorware Turbo oven is that you can cook any kind of food in it. I mean, it's amazing. You can cook, you can grill in it. You can cook
roast.
Don't
really care about the oven, but.
Cake, you can cook everything. Right. So here's Mr. T finding out that you can cook fries without using all that oil. So everything that you make is going to be healthy, too.
Sure.
Now, Mr. T, look at those French fries. Let me take them out. And, Mr. T, I'd like you to try one. And you tell me if you can't tell that those were not cooked in 5 pounds of splattering grease.
By the way, the old Mr. T would have broken this bitch's neck and left her for dead, right? How is he standing there being talked to like this? He's Mr. T.
Yeah.
They're so golden brown and crispy. It's good, darling.
That's because the flavor wave seals in the flavor. Now look at this, Mr. T. This is how most people cook. They add grease and...
By the way, I love the audiences on the info version.
I can't stand them so much for the same reason.
They're so awesome. They're so awesome. The way they do the reaction shots. Like, I mean, they're showing a pan full of chicken with oil in it, which is every single person in that audience cooks their chicken that way.
Right.
Yet in the infomercial taping, they're like,
oil to their food. And if you look, your food is actually reabsorbing that fat.
That's disgusting.
And look, Mr. T, this is all the oil, fat, and grease that we didn't have to use.
Who want all that in their body?
Who want all that in their body, indeed,
That's
Mr. T?
That's a good question.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Who want all
I
that
have
in their
no
body?
Idea.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost near the end, and there's a little surprise for Mr. T as Darla shows up with a cake.
I have a surprise for you.
It's not my birthday.
It had to be your birthday sometime this year.
You're not mistaken about that, Darla.
Come on.
Come on.
Well, apparently she baked the cake in the Flavorware. That's why.
Now, you're not going to turn down a piece of this triple-layered chocolate brownie cake, are you?
I pity the fool who would do that. Let me have a piece.
Oh, I pity the fool. Let me have a piece. And then, finally, at the end, Mr. T makes his plea to us to buy.
This is for being such a super-duper good sport and a Flavorwave Turbo Oven expert.
Oh, Darla, you shouldn't have, but I'm glad you did. Now enough of this jibber-jabber. It's time for you to pick up the phone and order your very own Flavorwave Turbo Oven. Stay healthy, America, and call now.
Oh, Mr. T, it's sad, right? It is sad.
It's very sad. What made you buy it?
It looks awesome. It looks like an awesome product.
He hates waiting for food to cook.
I do.
It drives him crazy.
Who doesn't?
But poor, he's like, Mr. T's faking it. Mr. T hates this. He can't possibly like it. I want one.
Maybe in some small way, I'm keeping Mr. T off the street. You know, keep him in his house, helping him pay his mortgage.
Because
who knows? Maybe he's
I'm
just saying, as a bonus, maybe he's got some sort of deal with the more successful it is, the more he gets. I'd like to think that somehow Mr. T is benefiting from doing this infomercial. Because otherwise, it just breaks my heart.
Talking about a kitchen revolution oven.
Sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, party people! It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Shocking news, Kevin. I know you read the People's Daily out of China. About the Taliban training monkeys to fight Americans.
That's right. All the good reporting is coming out of China. Yeah.
Now, what's the story? I know monkeys are very smart. They obviously can be trained to do something like this. But how do you train them to shoot Americans? That's the part I don't get. How do they know who they're shooting with their guns?
I don't know. I just know that according to the report, they say, ironically, the initiators of the monkey soldiers was the Americans.
Ooh, ooh.
They say we did it in the Vietnam War. You give a monkey an AK-47 or a Bren light machine gun, and they just go out and they just start tearing people up. Now, your question is a good one. How do they know who to shoot? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they're smart, but they can't really – I don't think they – maybe you teach them by the color of the uniform. Who knows?
That's
well,
what
we
I'm
have
thinking,
many,
yeah.
many questions about this story, so we asked producer Alex to line somebody up. And it's amazing that the government has so much trouble tracking down the Taliban because she seems to be able to get them on the phone whenever we need them. And we have one of the monkey Taliban training experts on the phone right now. This is Ahmed Ramul Jones joining us now.
What?
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, Ahmed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a Rock of Beckham.
Wait, hold on a sec. You're in Afghanistan and you're a Taliban member?
That's right. What? Only whites can be a Taliban?
Well, I wasn't expecting this.
I was expecting no prejudice on this phone call today.
All right. Well, that's not the reason why we called, so we'll move on past that. Let's talk about your monkeys, Ahmed.
Yeah, let's talk about my monkeys.
Now, you're arming them to be terrorists against Americans, right?
That's right.
How does that work
White
exactly?
devil.
Right, but how does that work?
Well, what I do is I get the monkeys, and I give them an AK-47.
Right.
And then I show them a picture of Whitey.
Okay.
And I say, shoot that white man.
All right.
And he does it.
Okay, but what about...
That's the theory, anyway.
That's the theory.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a loophole, though, in that a lot of our soldiers aren't
God
white.
God damn it! Coco, stop that!
Who's Coco shooting at?
One of the damn monkeys.
What? Oh, no.
He's shooting at that damn banana tree.
Okay, that's not... But what about all of the American soldiers that aren't whitey? What about our black and our Asian soldiers and our Hispanic soldiers?
Got no problem with them.
They're fine.
They're fine.
Oh.
What about everybody's got an agenda, man.
What about white Taliban members?
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, we'll let that one guy go, I guess. I guess that one guy's going to be in trouble.
So, have you found it difficult to train monkeys for this kind of work?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
I'm
teaching
damn monkeys to fire a machine gun.
It seems impossible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Well,
if it was simple, everybody'd be having damn monkey soldiers, wouldn't they?
Right, sure.
How many monkey soldiers you know?
None.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is some damn hard work here. Don't be saying, oh, how hard is it? It's damn hard.
How close are you to actually putting them into battle?
Not very.
Okay.
Got a lot of monkeys and a lot of guns.
Right.
Not a lot of interaction between the two sides. Upset.
Okay.
I see.
All right.
So, I got a lot of angry monkeys. I got a lot of loaded guns.
Okay, but we don't need to be worried about this yet.
I would. If I was you, years. I'd be losing no sleep over the shooting monkeys.
All right.
Damn, this is a bad idea from Jump Street.
The world's most famous fairy is back.
Come on with that now.
Of course, we're talking about Ralph Garman as he joins us for the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
More Mel Gibson tape.
Yeah!
How much could there be?
More. We are currently having our crack staff of editors working on that tape now, bleeping out the insane number of curses in it.
It's a lot of bleeping that
needs
to be done.
We'll play it for you in the next hour's Showbiz Beat. But he is not happy, this Mel Gibson.
I thought he and Oksana were getting along great on these tapes.
No, turns out not so much.
I misunderestimated.
Yes, you did, Sarah Palin. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? This Lindsay Lohan thing is really starting to heat up. She, of course, is supposed to turn herself in about an hour and a half, turn herself into the police for her 90-day sentence. Here's the problem. She ain't got no lawyer. Robert Shapiro has quit.
What?
As Lindsay Lohan's attorney. Maybe that's what the meeting was about with the judge yesterday, where Lindsay thought he was trying to get her out of her sentence. He, in fact, was telling the judge, yeah, not so much with this bag of nuts.
He was getting himself out of that sentence is what was happening. How
bizarre. According to TMZ, Robert Shapiro agreed only to work with Lindsay if she was going to jail, knew she was going to jail, and did everything that he requested of her, and apparently she did not follow those rules.
How bad a client is Lindsay Lohan if Shapiro will defend OJ and won't defend Lindsay?
Yeah.
That shows how much trouble she is.
Wow.
So
this is how many lawyers in 2 weeks? Like
three or four?
Three or four. Wow.
So apparently TMZ has learned that Sean Chapman Holly is going to be Lindsay's lawyer again. This is the woman who quit on her initially.
Okay.
Because Sean never signed a substitution of attorney form last Friday to get out of the case. So apparently she's still on the hook as the attorney of record for this particular.
So she has to. She's not choosing to.
No. Yeah. So she will be by her side at least for the surrender.
So Lindsay will have a will be legally represented at least at the surrender. So now Lindsay apparently is furious at Shapiro because she thinks he used her just to get publicity for his sober living house that he put her in right away once they signed up to work together.
Oh, interesting.
And then he bailed once things got tough. So no love lost between those two. Should be interesting at 8:30.
Wow.
It's going to be quite the circus. The church, the judge naturally has banned all cameras from the courtroom, so we won't get
come
to
on.
See the actual surrender. But I'm sure there will be a cavalcade of press outside and choppers in the air following her every move from her house to the courthouse. So stay tuned for more details. I'll tell you, this DirecTV is starting to have a very clever plan when it comes to programming.
Like what?
Well, here's the thing. It used to be you had your networks.
Right.
And then sometimes a network show would be canceled and a cable affiliate, the cable network would pick it up.
That was
you know?
The best, yeah.
Now, cable shows are starting to get canceled and DirecTV is stepping up and saving them. For example, the critically acclaimed Damages over on FX was
a good show.
Being canceled by FX. Glenn Close stars in that series. DirecTV has stepped in and has purchased 2 seasons of that show to air on their 101 channel, their exclusive 101 channel on DirecTV. So DirecTV now will start providing original content for its subscribers that you can only get via DirecTV, which I think is a very clever business model. If you're a fan of Damages, naturally you're going to want to sign up to DirecTV to be able to watch the next 2 seasons of that show. They did it with Friday Night Lights. They stepped in and helped at least offset the cost of production for that show.
Right.
So they could get it on their 101 channel and also keep it on the air on NBC. So they're being very clever with how they are ingratiating their way into television production.
I agree. And I also think, like, what they're doing, that they just started this week with re-airing every episode of The Wire, too. I mean, that's the kind of exclusive thing. If you have DirecTV, you're kind of getting it for free, you know?
Yeah.
So very clever.
Good on them for saving a show that's well done, but maybe didn't garner the audience that FX would have liked, but people will still be able to watch it.
So I love DirecTV, by the way. I don't endorse them. I don't get paid for that, but I wouldn't choose anything else. I think
I'm
great.
A big fan, too.
Good stuff. MTV has quite a situation on their hands with this Jersey Shore cast.
Situation.
Now what?
they're on strike, you know, the Jersey Shore cast.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't renegotiate a deal with MTV within the parameters that MTV set up. Said you have a certain amount of time to renegotiate your deal. Otherwise, we're going to go back to the default deal, which is the original deal that you had.
Right.
So they're furious about that. Also, because MTV is calling this next shoot Season 2B. They only had a 2-season deal with these kids.
Oh.
So they're saying that this stuff they want to shoot now will be the second part of the second season that Miami is the first part of.
Ah.
So the Jersey Shore cast is flipping out.
I hate to side with the Jersey Shore cast.
It is a little manipulative.
That sounds
and
weak.
It certainly is muddying the waters when it comes to their contracts, at least. But anyway, MTV has said they get back to work tomorrow or else. I don't know what or else
maybe they
means.
Just don't want him anymore.
Maybe they just don't let him tan anymore or something. Wouldn't that be horrible?
Well, they would have to give
They'd
in.
They'd lock
then.
The door to a gym or
They'd
something.
Have to give in.
So we don't know what's going to be going on. However, MTV apparently is talking to the situation about his own spin-off solo show.
Of course.
On MTV.
Yeah.
And Mike Sorrentino, the situation, has also announced he is working on a book that will be out soon.
Is it called?
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Yes, it's called You Are Excluded from Chicken Cutlet Night. No, it'll be a self-help book that will give you all the tips that he can give you on, naturally, gym, tanning, and laundry.
Who could be better to go to for advice in this situation?
Yeah,
no one.
You know?
And speaking of self-help, Cindy Crawford is telling Star Magazine how she looks so good at age 44. She says that, well, basically it's occasional Botox treatments, but the love of her husband, Randy Gerber, is what really keeps her looking amazing at 44. Oh, it doesn't hurt also that she's Cindy Crawford!
Right. Yeah. Genetics.
She hit the
little.
DNA lottery, too.
And looked
too.
Amazing at 10, 12, 15, 19, 20, 22, 30, 32. You're just great looking.
Right. And your kids are great looking.
Yes.
And you're lucky. Just say you're lucky.
If I take Botox treatment and get Randy Gerber to love me, I'm not going to look like you.
Although that Randy Gerber, he is dreamy.
And Kanye West, more and more, is reminding me of Psycho Mike.
Really?
Yes.
But,
you know, except for the talent part.
Right.
Just like in the behavior.
doesn't have enough talent.
Life and Style magazine said that Kanye was at a New York City Starbucks with a beautiful, lovely, slender lady friend. And they went up to the counter, and Kanye was ordering for them, and she said she would like a cookie. And he told her no. It was too fattening.
Oh, no.
But if you want, I will get you half of this bran muffin, and we can split it, but you're not getting a cookie.
Yes, 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 and yes.
And she was rather upset that he was dictating what she could eat or not eat at the Starbucks. And I said, how psycho Mike is that?
Yes. Wow.
Very much so.
Later on the phone.
Provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off. Tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your from behind.
Very controlling. I don't get the connection, but...
Very controlling.
Good on you.
All right.
Psycho Mike, what happens when you go out on a date with a woman and you're eating your fish oil for dinner and she wants to have real food?
You're cutting into your capsule.
Realistically, I would never comment on what someone else is eating.
Oh, stop it. If you were in a relationship with a girl and she said, oh, I'm going to get the mile-high chocolate cake for dessert,
I'd say, have at it.
You would
really?
Not. Liar.
The real problem comes in when we go on a date and I go, you know, I'm not going to eat right now. Go ahead. Eat what you want. I'm cool. I'll have green tea.
You liar!
Because then she just feels bad.
You would absolutely comment if some girl you were involved with was going to eat a big portion of some
I do feel like at his fingertips, he would have calories and fat content for every item on her plate to make sure she knew it.
If she asked.
Oh, no, she wouldn't have to ask.
He would volunteer it.
Yeah. I back Psycho Mike up. He doesn't actually do
it. I don't care what anybody else eats but myself, but there is a problems do arise when we do go out and I go, yeah, I'm not eating. You go ahead and you eat.
Because that takes out the social aspect of the dinner.
Yeah, and
why do you go out to eat if you're not going to eat, by the way?
Because I enjoy the company.
God damn, you're effed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of levels.
Wouldn't kill you to eat a little something, by the way, just to be a good dinner partner.
Apparently it would.
Well, yes, it would.
At times I do.
At times. Sometimes I order broccoli.
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores. You can pick up A Wild Trapeze by Brandon Boyd if you're so inclined today. Ooh. Sheryl Crow's got a new CD, 100 Miles from Memphis. And the Jersey Shore soundtrack is available on CD today. On DVDs, The Runaways, film about the legendary all-girl band that came out of the L.A. scene in the 70s, starring Kristen Stewart, Dakota Fanning.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, it's available on DVD today.
I didn't see that. Was it good?
It actually was.
It was very good. Yeah, but I'm a big fan of that band and sort of that era, so I really got a kick out of it. It was interesting. Guy playing Rodney was not good, though.
He wasn't good?
Not a Rodney we know and love, that's for sure. There's a great documentary, by the way, on the Runaways, the real story behind them, in their own words, called Edge Play. If you ever get a chance and you're interested in the Runaways at all, it's available on DVD. Pick it up because it's really fascinating. They talk to everyone except for Joan Jett, but it's really
just
a good documentary.
Just her? She's the only one they left out?
Cherry Curry was the lead singer, and everyone else who sort of formed the band is there. And they talk about Joan, and she's involved in the story, but it's interesting to hear about the formation of that band. What was that dude's name who put them together, that lunatic?
Yeah, Kim...
Kim Fowler.
John Hill.
Fowler.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, how he sort of just handpicked these underage girls from clubs and bars in Los Angeles and kind of threw them together as this purely commercial enterprise.
He's the American Malcolm McLaren, basically. He just was going for image and looks, even more than musical ability at the start.
And how the band sort of formed on their own and the infighting and stuff. Fascinating story.
Yes.
Cop
kiss,
out.
Kiss. Bang, 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 bang.
Cop Out, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, directed by our pal Kevin Smith, who will be on the show tomorrow, by the way. That's out on DVD. And The Losers, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Zoe Saldana.
Oh!
Also out on DVD today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. Hey! What I choose is my choice. He says
that's
there.
True, by the way.
F you, Billy Corgan.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 7:08.
From Flint, Michigan, a man was shot in the penis late Saturday night in a parking lot on West Carpenter Road.
No!
We were talking about this off the air earlier this week, about this guy getting shot in the penis and what that must feel like.
No.
And somehow we got on the topic of the most painful thing that's ever happened to you. And we're going to be taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you survive something extraordinarily painful,
We need to hear about it. Kevin, I know this isn't going to be any fun for you.
I don't enjoy these stories.
You're the kind of person who, when somebody talks about getting shot in the penis, you feel it, right? Yeah. You don't just hear about it. You feel it. And then Ralph Garman brought up something, a story we had never heard in all the years we've been working together, about something that sounds almost impossible to live through.
Although he has two of those.
He does. Yeah. Two amazing stories.
Yeah, I had a lot of pain in my life.
And that's not even counting this show.
Yeah, not even the emotional pain inflicted on me by Beam on a regular basis.
Tell us the one with your third arm coming out of your back or whatever happened.
It was the third arm. Unfortunately, it was just the second one.
Oh.
I was playing tackle football with some friends, and I went to tackle a buddy of mine, and my right arm completely dislocated from it, from the shoulder.
Oh.
The shoulder was completely dislocated. And a total dislocation is when it actually moves out of the socket where it's connected there towards your, where your scapula is and the end of your rib cage, and it moved beneath the skin to behind me, basically.
So,
if I looked at my shoulder, it was missing. The shoulder was missing. It was I couldn't see it because it was. I would have needed a mirror to see my shoulder.
Oh,
and your whole arm.
Man.
Yeah, and the rest of my arm that was dangling off of my back, basically.
And I think, as a man who's had broken and dislocated bones, I almost think dislocation is more painful than broken.
Oh, very easily.
They say it
yeah.
is one of the most painful injuries you can have is a dislocation of anything.
Because
all the muscles, tendons, nerve endings, everything that goes through there is stretched to the limit when something is dislocated out of its joint. And so my shoulder was completely dislocated.
But at least they fixed it quickly.
Well, that's the thing. There was a gym teacher. This happened at school. We were playing. It was during gym, right? And so the gym teacher says, well, you know, I can fix that for you.
Oh, no.
And I said, I'd rather you didn't, because you were just barely adequate as a gym teacher. I can't imagine really what your qualifications are as any sort of medic. So they called an ambulance and took me to the hospital, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and the doctor said, oh, that's a bad one. We're going to need some films on that before we put it back in. They wanted to take x-rays to make sure I hadn't done any serious damage to the bones around that dislocation. So they said, before we put that back in for you, we're going to need to take some x-rays.
So you're going to leave it like that for a while?
We're going to leave it like until the x-ray room frees up.
What?
And then we'll move you in there.
Who's in there that's got a more pressing issue?
I'm hoping it was somebody with like a steak knife through their skull, because that was the only way I would excuse them. So I was sitting...
Did they give you pain medicine at least while you waited?
No.
Oh!
No, I had an ice pack on the spot where my arm used to be.
Okay.
Oh!
All right.
And I was sitting there in the waiting room just getting more and more pale. I was going into shock, basically. My parents said you could see the blood drain from my face, and I was just rocking back and forth in agony.
Oh, man.
So finally the x-ray room opens up, and they put me on a gurney to wheel me in, and they have an orderly or somebody holding my arm, naturally, because it's not attached to anything now, kind of going by the side of the gurney. And I hear the nurse or doctor say, well, just rest it up on the side of the gurney. So he puts it up there, and it falls off the side of the gurney. The arm does.
The arm
and
does. Involuntarily.
Involuntarily. It just rolls off. And by sheer force of gravity, having the arm pulled down, it popped it back into the socket.
Did that feel bad? Good?
It was the best feeling I've ever felt in my life. I started laughing uncontrollably. That's how good it felt. I didn't think it was funny, but for some, the relief was so amazing that I started to laugh. A fit of laughter was the only reaction I had once it popped back in.
Oh my God.
And they got me halfway down the hallway when that happened. The doctor said, well, there's no point in x-raying them now because it's back in. So we'll just give them a brace and send them home. So I never even got the x-rays. The whole thing was for naught.
Wow.
2 hours I waited with my arm hanging out.
Too bad you
back.
Didn't see the x-ray technician first. Could have solved your problem like that.
That's right.
It'd have been done.
So that was the most painful experience I ever had, was that dislocation.
Oh, man.
In retrospect, do you wish you'd had the coach just pop it back in?
If you had confidence he could do it right.
And if I had confidence that I didn't seriously mess something up. I mean, the coach was looking at it saying, I've never seen anything like that. So we didn't know whether I had broken my scapula or something. If it had been broken, if something had been badly broken in there, he could have done a lot worse damage by trying to put it back in. So,
Ralph, did you have any kind of residual problems as a result of that injury?
I still do.
I mean, range of motion and stuff?
I still do.
You still do?
Yeah.
You box. It hurts when you box?
No, but I can't throw a baseball very well. Anything that involves...
Neither can Kevin.
But anything that involves throwing a football, I can't throw it a far distance. Anything that involves like overhead, downward motion, this seems to be a limited in motion. And I think also sort of a psychological
factor too. Is I'm very protective of that shoulder, and you know this happened years ago, obviously. But I'm still I got a little bit of a mental hitch when it comes to that shoulder as well. But I can't throw anything any great distance or anything. It seems like the range of motion there is.
That seems bad
for some reason.
That does not seem good.
Anyway,
terrible story.
It was hideous. It was pain. You can't imagine how much pain you can deal with until you have to go through something like that.
Yeah, that's bad. The worst pain I ever had was I was pitching in high school and got hit in the balls with a line drive on the pitcher's mound. And I was laying on the ground and I was throwing up.
Yeah.
And my coach, who was young and funny, came out and he said, "You know everyone's watching you, right?" And I was like, "I don't care." And I had a date that night, and I went. I had balls the size of watermelons. I was trying to hide it. I don't know.
You went out on the date?
Yeah, it was rough. I don't know why.
Did she administer any first aid?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to get home.
Yeah.
And I was walking so bow-legged, I was like, how does she not notice? How stupid is this girl?
Let's take Jay real quick before the break on line 7. Then we want to take your calls. The most painful thing you ever survived. 1-800-520-1067. And I guess it's obvious we're giving a warning to people who don't enjoy this kind of conversation or will have trouble the rest of the day hearing it. Jay, what happened to you?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Good morning. Okay, yeah. After work one day, I'm 21. I go for a surf. Try to pop an air. The board flips over from the wind. I take it right in the taint.
Did you perforate it?
Oh.
No, it went about an inch and a quarter up into my abdomen or rectum.
Wow, did that go horribly wrong?
I missed nicking the intestine and causing major damage, but I'm all by myself. I get out of the water. I look down. There's blood pouring out of the bottom of my wetsuit.
Oh, of course.
No. Jesus.
So I drive myself to the urgent care, you know, with every ugly nurse you've ever seen in your life. They bring me in the back, and out comes the stunning redhead nurse.
Oh, yeah. She was hot. That's, I don't know why. Bow, bow. For guys, for some reason, that's just the worst. You want an old, ugly nurse.
So she tapes the boys to my stomach and shaves me so the doctor can stitch it up. He comes in, and of course, he's got a sense of humor. Goes, "Looks like you really did tear your new one, didn't you?"
Oh, my God.
They stitch me up, 9 stitches, send me home. I go to the next day, squat down, rip all the stitches out.
Oh, man.
Oh, it just gets worse.
I've heard enough about that part of your body.
You are lucky you didn't, honestly, just like Ralph was talking about, go into shock and pass out or something out there in the water.
Oh, he said if it had gone in an eighth of an inch more, I would have nicked the abdomen. I would have had infection. I would have had to do bowel.
Dude.
Man.
This may be the worst thing I've ever heard.
This is not good.
That's hideous.
It's a great scar for parties.
For parties, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see that scar, if you don't mind.
I don't think I would believe Jay at a party if he said, "Hey, who wants to see my taint scar?"
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
Hey,
all right, Jay, excellent call. That's the one to beat. 1-800-520-1067. What's the most painful thing that ever happened to you? We'll take your calls when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Pain don't hurt.
Well, I got to disagree based on some of the calls we have on hold. 1-800-520-1067. What is the most painful thing you ever survived? Ralph told us his story of the dislocated shoulder when he was playing football as a youth, and then we got the guy with the surfboard to the taint, and I don't know that I can go on. I don't know that I have the capacity for more, but all right, let's try Jason. Jason's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see what he's got for us. We'll get as many of these calls as we can in, so please hang on. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show. What happened, dude?
Hey, guys. So I was taking a shower one day, and apparently my girlfriend forgot to turn off her curling iron, and she left it on the bathroom counter.
Right.
I get out of the shower, bump into it, and it falls right across my penis.
Oh! And it was still as hot as before?
Extremely hot. Oh. It's so hot that, you know, apparently the skin down there is pretty sensitive, or so I hear.
Yeah, is that what you hear? After we're on the street.
And what kind of damage was done?
The skin bubbled up.
Oh, man.
In like a half-inch strip, like pretty wide and pretty long, to the point where I can't really describe it. I flinch every time I see a curling iron.
Yeah.
Oh. Imagine. Right.
Do you have a scar there?
Yes, I have a scar about a half inch by an inch and a half, maybe.
Covers the whole penis, huh?
Yeah. Just about,
Wait, even worse. There's worse part to the story?
The healing. Think about a scab in a moist, damp place.
All right.
Okay.
I'm out.
Okay, I have one question. I'm so glad you called, but how long was it after the incident that you were able to have sex again?
Probably like 2 months because the scab.
Yeah. Alrighty. You know, scab is not an aphrodisiac.
No.
I'd get excited. Things would rip. And
All right. Hey, very good. All right. We've got back to him several
good
times.
Good morning. Brandon is on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Curling iron to the penis right after surfboard to the taint. That's what this morning show's all about. All right, Brandon, what happened?
I can't.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey,
Lisa. Hey, you started it, Ralph.
No, you did. And Ralph hasn't told us about breaking both legs yet, but I don't know that we can handle it. All right, Brandon, what happened to you?
I got my index and my middle finger on my right hand stuck in my lawnmower.
Oh, sweet
stuck
Jesus.
In your lawnmower.
How do you get it stuck? Yeah. Don't they just come off and then your hand pulls out?
It was an electric lawnmower, and the breech where it just spat out all the mold kept getting stuck. And I figured, you know, it's too much of a waste of my time to turn it off, flip it over, and clean it out. Let's just leave it running and clean it out.
So you knew putting your hand in that was a risk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it was perfect. I had done it all day. I had done it, like, 20 times that day. And then the last time, I was like, oh, I can't get this one piece. Reached too far in, and it split my middle fingernail, broke the tip of my finger, and split through my nail.
Ouch.
Oh, dude.
All right, I've heard enough. Thank you.
I had just moved to San Bernardino, wise choice, and we couldn't find a hospital, so my wife drove around for an hour with me screaming in the back seat trying to find a hospital.
Drove around?
They don't have any there yet. San Bernardino area.
Don't you call
later this year?
Don't you call your wife? Just go, hey, I think if we hang a right here, we might find one.
I saw one near the subway. I think I remember seeing a Red Cross.
That's a terrible idea.
Let's try. Thank you, Brandon. Let's try Anthony on line three. I'm fading on this.
Come
by the way,
on.
I'm
What's
starting
wrong
to get because I'm starting to get dizzy. I believe I'm going to black out. Anthony, what happened, dude?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah. About 3 years ago, I was in this dirt bike accident, and on vacation, doing a brand new bike, and I got laid out by a dune buggy after I fell, and boom, right in the goggles, and broke my mid face, and popped out my right eyeball, and severed my left eye.
Okay.
Popped it out.
All right.
No, I'm
done.
Popped
out. Good night, everybody.
Popped out your eye.
Goodbye.
Pop out your eye, that's it, right? You're never getting it back.
Nah, yeah, I'm totally blind.
It depends on whether you're in prison or not, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So you can see out of both eyes now?
No, he said he's blind.
Yeah, he could see himself from the sand.
Oh, you're completely... I'm sorry, I missed that
weird.
Part. So you lost them both. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
You win. Congratulations, you win.
Way to go. You beat Tate.
Can we clap?
Yes.
I'll tell you what we don't do is give him movie tickets.
Oh, man.
From your San Diego Chargers, quarterback Philip Rivers joins us in about 20 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be a big thrill for us football geeks on the show. We're very excited about having Mr. Rivers stop by. You know, it's weird. Lindsay Lohan, pretty big star, been a tabloid favorite for a long time. She's going into jail in less than an hour, yet you don't hear very much about it. Why aren't they covering it on TV, Kevin?
Turns out they are.
People don't understand something. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience. I got sliced. I got glass put in my food. I got stabbed.
So you think this could have an adverse effect on her?
It will.
Lindsay, are you worried about going to jail at all?
Shortly after she was caught on camera, Lindsay's assistant was spotted rushing art supplies into the building.
They do take away everything that you have.
It's not a place you want to be.
Is Lindsay too fragile for life behind bars?
I believe she can handle it. She's a tough bird.
It's the most unpleasant experience I think that you can imagine. This is a barren, empty cell.
What is the single most common complaint once they get inside the cell?
The temperature in the food. The temperature is not well regulated.
How does 54 degrees sound? That frigid temperature is for hygiene reasons. No doubt Lindsay will be cold, considering she'll only be wearing a thin orange jumpsuit, which, by the way, is washed only once a week. She can get a sweatshirt, but the actress will have to go to court to request it.
Food typically tends to be less than desirable.
I spoke to her recently at the behest of her mother. I think Lindsay should probably go on Celebrity Apprentice, frankly. I mean, we'll straighten her out very quickly.
Yes, Donald Trump.
God.
And of course, that's for Lindsay's benefit, not for Mr. Trump. Lisa, you would die in prison at 54 degrees.
Forget everything.
Forget lesbian rape. The cold would kill you.
I would completely die. That is misery right there.
Well, we're happy to say, in probably her last interview before she goes behind bars today, Lindsay Lohan joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
It's still Kevin and Bean, Lindsay. So you've got less
Good
than
morning,
an hour left.
Carson.
No, Kevin and Bean.
Sorry.
Who are you?
45 minutes from now, you're going to be in court for a brief stopover and then heading off to jail. How are you feeling? What are your thoughts?
Well, I just think it's wrong. I'm being treated unjustly.
How's that?
It is unfair. It's cruel and inhuman punishment, and I really shouldn't have to do it.
Well, you had about 60 chances to not do it, but you just kept getting in trouble. You kept violating your parole. You kept getting rearrested. I mean, you've
but
been nothing but trouble.
Doesn't everyone deserve a 60-second chance, really?
I've been following your tweets these last few days, and here's one I wanted to ask you about. This is from last night. The only bookings that I'm familiar with are Disney films. I never thought that I'd be booking into jail. Eeks.
Eeks, indeed.
Wow.
Major eeks. Eeks to the fourth power.
That's a lot of eeks.
That it's eeks.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not familiar with booking and booking any jobs either, really.
Right.
Recently, I'm not familiar with that.
Right.
And it's all very terrifying for me.
Now, Kevin seems to think, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but that you're looking forward to it because you like the ladies.
Well, look.
It's like a dream vacation for you.
I've been known to go through the door both ways.
You like ugly ladies, no
I
less.
I push and pull.
Right.
If we're going with the door metaphor.
Roger.
I am a revolving door some nights.
Right.
Depending on who's in the crowd.
So what better?
Yeah!
But, no, I'm not looking forward to jail because of whatever Carson just said.
Kevin, actually. So did you find anyone to take the bait? You were trying to sell that jailhouse interview for $1 million. Are you going to be talking when you get out in a few weeks?
Well, I won't be because I'm not going.
You're not going?
I'm not going to jail.
You are
well,
going to jail.
You are in less than
I'm
an hour,
going.
Lindsay.
What? Here's my helicopter.
I don't think you have a choice. What? You have a helicopter?
So long, suckers.
Are you fleeing?
Hell is to the yeah. One thing I'm not going to... 54 degrees, F that.
That is a little cold.
Yeah.
That is good. Hold on, what? The helicopter just left. I missed my ride.
Oh,
that's okay.
Sorry.
I've got a biplane standing by.
Okay.
Wow.
She's doing everything she can to get out of here.
Where should I go?
Well,
should I go to Alaska and get out of the country?
Well, I think they'll probably find you. If you flee, they're just going to come looking for you, Lindsay.
Not if I disguise myself.
Really?
Oh, wait, I missed that flight, too.
Oh, Lindsay,
damn
we're
it.
Sorry. We don't mean to...
All right, I'm going
to
get in the hot air balloon.
All right.
Okay, I am now 3 feet off the ground.
Okay.
I'm 5 feet off the ground. So long, you screws! Go on, cop! You better get me now 7.5 feet off the ground!
It doesn't sound like you're going up very, very fast.
Oh, but it's a steady climb. That's good.
Sure.
What is that, a tree? Could you steer away from the tree, please?
Oh, don't hit. This is a bad escape attempt.
Yeah, you need to think this through, Lindsay.
Who's got my pain medication?
Awaiting Philip Rivers, joining us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show from your San Diego Chargers. Could they be one of your favorite West Coast teams, Ralph? I know you're all locked up in the East, but how about the Chargers in the West? You like them?
Yeah, they're my favorite AFC team because I got a lot of family down in San Diego. My mom and dad live down there. My sister lives down there. So they are big Chargers fans. So I do root for the Chargers when it comes to the AFC.
Very excited to have our guests coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Well, all I'm saying is Comic-Con.
Right. It's happening this
Mother
weekend.
Effers.
Right.
Right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Wednesday night preview night. I'll be there.
You'll be there Wednesday night as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember me talking about how excited I was about the exclusive toys that are available at the Comic-Con. One of which I mentioned was Mattel doing a complete recreation of the cover of the first appearance ever of the Justice League of America.
Yep.
I think we glazed over as you mentioned that, yeah.
Well, look what was on my desk this morning when I came to work. Mother effers.
That's a giant package.
I win.
Of the Justice League of America. Those are the action figures.
Yeah, they are the action figures recreating
the first ever appearance of the Justice League battling Starro the Conqueror.
Starro the Conqueror is literally a starfish with a giant eye in the middle.
Listen, no, douchebag. It is a giant.
Is it not?
It's a giant alien.
It's
that
a starfish with an eye in the middle of it.
All right. I'm going to let the box speak for itself.
All right.
In The Brave and the Bold, number 28, the alien creature, Starro the Conqueror, attempts to invade Earth. Five founding members of the Justice League of America spring into action to battle the fiendish villain.
Yeah!
Didn't somebody go,
the box speaks for itself.
Could we come up with a better name than Starro? Didn't that happen?
You don't get it,
man. Is it still talking?
Yes.
Tell it to shut up.
I can't. It'll go on like that for a while. Oh.
Starro.
Kevin and Bean show is going to be broadcasting live. Ralph will be down there at a super secret location on Thursday morning. We're going to be down there Friday, the whole show. And if you want to come by, we'll have the information up at kevinandbean.com. But the live broadcast is going to be located next to Petco Park at the corner of 10th and K Street, downtown San Diego. Again, look for the address on the website. It is free and open to the public if you'd like to come on by. We got tons of guests scheduled for Friday morning as well.
Britt Reed's Garage is where we'll be.
You think you could
still talk?
You just
throw
keeps
that out.
Talking.
See, it's telling you about the different members of the Justice
League.
Well,
how long does
it go?
Aquaman was featured on a cover.
The Aquaman. Aquaman's on the cover for the first time. All right, man, don't be like that. I'm just saying, I may be the first person in the world to have this toy.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Congratulations.
That's technically not payola because you talked about it with no expectation of receiving free stuff, right?
I had no way of knowing that they would have heard that and send it over.
Because I sure love Mercedes-Benzes, man. They are great cars. I sure enjoy them.
You are a bad person.
It's a starfish with an eye.
It's Starro the Conqueror.
Starro the Conqueror.
You just don't understand. This is the one week I can talk a lot about comic books and still get away with it without the guys picking on me too much. So I did want to mention that I got this story from therealmcast.com, which is a great website for horror movie and science fiction and comic book movie news. Eva Mendes has announced that she will not be returning for the second Ghost Rider film with Nicolas Cage. That's bad. I loved her in that first film.
Yeah, she was the only good thing about her.
How dare you! Nicolas Cage will be reprising his role as Johnny Blaze, who of course becomes Ghost Rider.
I feel like my head's on fire.
Love that film.
Kevin's not allowed to complain that Nicolas Cage movies are bad since he goes to all of them. He should know by now.
Not all, but
did you see Sorcerer's Apprentice yet?
I did not.
It's really good. I really
I've heard
it.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. All right, Mel Gibson. We got more Mel Gibson tape. I didn't think it was possible, but he's still going on and on and on about Oksana and his baby and how she is an effing gold digger and how she cost him so much money. It's sort of like it's the same song. It's like the live version. It's just slightly different from what we've heard before.
Right.
But it's some very entertaining pieces that I thought you might want to take a listen to.
You're a monster!
Okay, you yelling now?
Okay! Mel, you're imbalanced.
Shut up! You
You cannot raise this child with this symptoms.
What?
You're acting as a crazy man right now. And you have been for many, many months. And you hit me and you hit her whilst she was in my hands. You need medication.
You need a kick up the for being a bitch, gold-digging whore with a son. And I want my child, and no one will believe you. So you. And I'm not giving you my house, and you can rot unless you crawl back my and say you're sorry in that order.
In that order.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You offend my maleness, my masculinity, my being, my soul. And you call me a sinner. You're a moving violation. If you get raped, it's your fault for showing up your fake.
Have you said everything?
I said nothing.
Well,
that's true,
something.
By the way.
You said a little something.
What? I got another minute. You want me to keep going?
No, I think I think you get the gist of it.
He definitely has his talking points, and he hits them repeatedly.
He does not like her fake boobs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
There needs to be a lot of crawling and a lot of oral satisfaction.
Yes.
And she's not an inexpensive woman to date, apparently.
No, apparently, she has cost him a few dollars.
And he'd like to reunite her with the flowers out in the garden.
Yes,
according
would.
To TMZ, though, she sent him like texts and stuff that made it seem like none of this will be admissible. According to TMZ, so.
Wow. Interesting.
While the court of public opinion,
I was gonna say,
be.
It may not be admissible, but I hope he doesn't get a jury trial.
Yeah, right.
If that's the case, because it certainly would affect that. Wow. All right, let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Carlos Santana.
Say hello to my little guitar, Carlos Santana.
Speaking of Al Pacino, do we have time? We have time real quick.
Yeah, we have time.
Al Pacino did his first commercial.
He's never done a commercial?
He's never done a television commercial before. I don't believe this will air here in the States because it is for an Australian coffee company.
Crikey!
But, so I'm assuming it's going to air in Australia. And this happens to a lot of stars. They do television commercials that only air in, say, Japan or somewhere in South America.
Are they not looked down upon, kind of like they are here?
They don't care.
They don't care.
Okay. I think the celebrities wouldn't, they would be embarrassed if they aired in the States. It would seem unseemly if you had a commercial running on American television, but they pay so well, especially in Japan, that they don't care over there because there's not, no one really ever gets to see them. So it's not a big deal.
All right.
This is Al Pacino's coffee commercial from Australia, and he loves him some coffee. I had no idea how important coffee was in his life.
In the morning, in making a movie, you get up really early. So you need all the help you can get. When I'm reading the script, when I'm rehearsing, coffee goes with my line of work. Without coffee, I'm going to feel like something's missing in the day. I'm going to feel awkward. I'm not going to feel the same. Most of my scripts have coffee stains on them. That's how you know it's a Pacino script. This is a good coffee.
He loves coffee.
Oh.
It was a good choice.
It's a good coffee.
Oh, it's coffee. Like script of coffee. I like to do a movie about coffee. About a man drink coffee, just drink coffee all down the set. Part of my work. What keeps me alive. Feel incomplete without coffee. Oh, it's good coffee. Oh, it's good coffee. Who's got my coffee?
Just saying how.
Maybe what about a guy like
Deezy, yeah.
Yeah. What's a guy like Pacino get, do you think, for an ad?
Well, who knows?
Is he a $400,000 guy?
Oh,
is
no.
He?
I bet they wouldn't do it for less than $1 million. Most of these guys get paid $1 million or more.
Wow.
Yeah. Carlos Santana is 63 years old today. Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols is 54. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden fame is 46. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam is 44. Josh Holloway, who played Sawyer on Lost, is 41. I miss Lost. Anybody else miss Lost?
Nope.
No.
I'm kind of sad it's over. I enjoyed it. Remember singer Vitamin C?
Yeah.
Sure.
She celebrates her 41st birthday today. Actress Sandra Oh is 39 years old today. And supermodel Gisele Bündchen.
Yeah.
Celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Philip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers. Not quite here yet. He's scrambling to make the yardage. He should be joining us on the Kevin Bean Show in just a couple of minutes. That's on the way. Plus, Mary Lynn Rice Cub. Don't you know she's Chloe from 24? Now that show's done, she's gone back to her first love of comedy. We'll talk about what she's got going on with her coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show as well.
First, it's time for the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
The story comes from Las Cruces, New Mexico. A 47-year-old man's friends set his prosthetic leg on fire after he lost a drinking bet.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't you?
Causing him to suffer severe burns to his buttocks and lower back. The sheriff's deputies found the man naked on U.S. Route 70. Naked. His prosthetic leg on fire.
I'm sorry, his friends did that?
Yes. He lost a drinking bet, he says.
That's a rough crowd you're rolling with.
The man told investigators at least 6 beers he drank the least, and he agreed to let his friend set him on fire. He said his friends ignited his prosthetic leg and the flames spread to his body. The sheriff's office said the man took his clothes off because of the pain, and his friends decided to take him to the hospital, but they got nervous and instead dropped him off on the side of the highway.
That's great.
Don't even take him to the hospital? Make him walk on fire with a bum leg?
Well, he wasn't so much walking as just lying by the side of the road naked.
Oh, my God.
With his wooden leg on fire.
That is probably plastic these days, but that is still... You know, it's funny. I usually feel so bad for the people who lose a limb. I have a feeling, based on this guy's behavior, what little I know in this story,
he
lost it in some effed up way. I think he probably deserved it.
Yeah, and you don't say that much about people, but dude. I mean, come on. We actually have him on the phone, which is surprising to me. Somehow Alex tracked him down. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this the man whose prosthetic leg was on fire?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What's your name?
My
name's
Rex. Rex Tyler.
Rex Tyler.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Very
Rex?
Good for you as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's going on with this? What kind of drinking game was going on with you and your friends, dude?
Well, we were at the local bar, and it was a drinking game to see who could drink the most beers. And I drank the least amount of beers. And the bet was whoever drank the least amount of beers would be set on fire.
Okay, now, that sounds funny when you come up with the idea,
It is very funny.
Right, and then
unless
after,
you don't drink the most beers.
Right, and then if you don't win, then you're the loser. Then all of a sudden it's not quite as funny, right?
That is correct.
And you all agreed to this, so had you not lost the bet, you would have set one of your friends on fire?
Hell yeah.
Really?
I wish that had been the case. But in reality, I was the one who was upon set.
All right, what about the part where they were supposed to take you to the hospital and dropped you off on the side of the freeway?
I believe their nerves got the best of them.
Right.
And they opted to leave me by the side of the road.
How long were you
sitting? They did give me the advice, roll.
They said roll.
Roll. All right. Drop and roll, Rex. So they were thinking of my best interests.
You know, the old expression is, with friends like this, who needs enemies? These are not guys that have your best interests at heart, Rex.
I beg to differ. You know, they could have done a lot worse.
What?
I don't know. Murdered me.
Right, but that... I don't understand.
Look, I lost a bet, okay? Bet's a bet. I don't know where you're from, sir, but where I'm from, you lose a bet, you pay up. And the bet was, loser gets set on fire. And I was set on fire.
Right.
My skin may be singed, but my honor is intact.
So wait, you're good with it?
Good with it.
Yeah.
I wear it as a badge of honor, sir. I'll have you know that this gnarled, twisted, melted prosthetic leg means more to me than almost anything I own. It shows that I'm a man of honor.
Right.
And maybe you don't know so much about that, but I do not back out of a bet.
I don't know about
made a bet. I lived up to it.
Right, but at some point, once they start lighting you on fire, do you not go, hey, guys, this might be a bad idea for a bet?
No. No, because I shouldn't agree to it if I didn't want to live with the repercussions.
That's true.
Right.
And so I just... Oh, damn it.
What's happening?
Oh, they set me on fire again. I have got a gambling problem. I need to stop making these bets.
What did you bet on this time?
I can't even remember.
Well, stop making the bet where they can set you on fire.
Oh, that stings.
I'm sure it does.
You think you'd get used to it after a certain part.
No.
Nope.
No.
Brand new pain.
You don't. Thank you.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, Citizen of the Day.
San Diego Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers.
Here comes the blitz. Rivers unloads it. A wobbler caught by Gates.
The bottom line is winning the game. Anytime you win, team collectively did enough to win, and that's really the main objective.
Rivers fires over the middle, complete, a diving catch.
No doubt about it, he's one of the premier quarterbacks in the National Football League. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers.
Rivers going to try to run it in.
One thing I've always, you know, tried to live by is be quick and accurate with it. It doesn't really matter what it looks like as long as it's getting to the right guy.
Rivers pumps and throws long for Jackson. And he's all the way inside the 15-yard line. Another fantastic throw, a line drive by Rivers.
I hear that you don't swear.
That is accurate.
How do you play a game of football with the intensity and the passion without swearing?
Yeah, you get a bunch of gollies and dadgummit.
I haven't heard the words "dat gummit" maybe since I was a little kid.
And golly, as well.
And golly too.
Yeah. You gotta come down to Alabama. You'll hear a few more of those.
I guess so. Hey, it's hard to believe, folks, but the NFL is really almost here. The Hall of Fame game is a little over 2 weeks away. The San Diego Chargers play the Chicago Bears. Check this out. Preseason game one is August 14th, which is right around the corner. Very happy to welcome Philip Rivers to the studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. Great to meet you, man. We have a lot of great guests. We're very lucky in this job. We meet a lot of people, but we geek out most of all when we meet athletes because, let's face it, there isn't a little boy in this country who hasn't grown up wanting to do what you do for a living. It must be so much fun.
It is. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. And there's, you know, you grew up in the backyard. Just about every kid does, playing some type of ball and playing in the backyard. And
The Super Bowl. Every single kid throws that pass that wins the Super Bowl.
But that's the difference. I did that, and Bean did that, and Lisa probably did that, but you're actually doing it.
Yeah, I know. It really is a dream come true. It's what I always wanted to do. I grew up my dad was a high school coach, my high school coach. And
is it true that you were the water boy at one point?
I was the water boy, the ball boy. I had all those titles.
That's got to be rough because then once you start playing, now everybody kind of picks on you, I imagine.
Well, yeah, all my dad's players picked on me. I was the little kid, you know, that they pushed around all those years growing up. Couldn't
you
wait to get
little,
my chance.
Were you?
Not too long. Phillip's a big dude. I mean, it's tough to tell sometimes on TV because you're in a crowd of big dudes. But when you walk in the room and you're, what, 6'5", like 240 or something like that, you go, whoa, big dude. Did you have a backup plan if you did not make it, as 99% of the people don't make it to the NFL? What were you going to do instead?
Well, you know, I have it in me to coach one day, just being around it. You know, that's what my dad did. And then I've always wanted to do some type of broadcasting, probably not maybe in this field, but you know, some type of, you know, I used to always love Kirk Herbstreit and Mike Tirico and those guys that did the college games. And
sure,
so I've always kind of, those were my two backup plans if this didn't work out.
Is this, well, let me back up and ask the first question first. Is there a day off when you're in the NFL? Because I know there is an off season, but I bet the minute you play your last game, you start thinking about next year and what you can do to prepare for it.
Yeah, well, I try to take a couple weeks. You take a couple weeks off, and then you do start to gear back up.
A couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, just the lifting and the, you know, trying to stay in shape. It's still off. I consider it off. Even you don't, you know, you're done by lunch every day. That's pretty much an off day.
It's not bad, right?
That's not bad. So, but yeah, so, it, you know, the off season, they seem to run right into the season. There's not much of an off season. And then during the year, you know, every Tuesday is the league mandated day off. So every Tuesday we're off, but you're still kind of starting to prepare for next week's opponent.
Sure.
As a premier quarterback and the leader of the team, how much input do you have at this time when they're scrambling to get guys in and, you know, bring new players, re-sign old players who may be, I don't know, holding out for better contracts? I mean, do they come to you and say, how important is this guy to you, or what do you think about this guy, or is it news to you when it happens?
Yeah, it's pretty much news to me when it happens. You know, that's definitely that's separated, you know, the business side and us as players. The one thing I do get to do is talk to those guys, you know, talk to my teammates and players and try to encourage them or help them or give them advice or whatever.
If you wanted if to go to the management and say, please make this happen, would they listen? Or
I don't think so, and I don't really feel that, you know, that's my place to do, really. Whoever they put in that locker room, we're going to go try to go win. And you know, we got a great group of management upstairs that I'll let them handle all that stuff.
That's a very diplomatic answer, Phillip, because I know that, you know, guys like Vincent Jackson that you've had such success with, you want them out on the field, I imagine you do take it personally. What happens?
Well, again, I try to encourage Vincent and try to, you know, help them the best way I can and understand. You never really know until you're in their position, you know. So I kind of give them the most support I can and encouragement, and you hope we get them. It's still July, still early, so we still got some time to get these guys back out there.
What does it feel like to start training camp in a week? Is it a week?
It's a week, a week from yesterday.
Are you just can't wait, or are you, oh, wow, it's going to be a long season?
Well, it's kind of that in-between. You know, it's kind of the last week before training camp is kind of the worst week because you're kind of antsy to get started. You're kind of no man's land. You're not in the relaxed feeling of an off season.
Right.
And you're not quite in training camp. And so I know my kids, my girls, my two oldest are kind of saying, we're not letting you go this year. You can't go to training camp. So
it kind of gets that time,
you know, because I've been at home so much the last few weeks. So, but I'm looking forward to it. You kind of, you start to get ready to go.
But
about
isn't
now.
It possible that your kids, after you go to training camp, are going to go, finally.
Well, I don't know.
That guy's gone.
Maybe. We have our own training camp at home. playing in the yard. So, yeah, they'll have a break probably.
What's it like during the season in terms of how much time you have to just be regular dad, regular husband, and hang out at home?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the days are long. Wednesdays and Thursdays are the long days, you know, probably like 6 to 6 or something. So you get home in time to, you know, eat supper and play in the yard a little bit before bedtime. But the schedule really sets up nice. You know, if we have a home game, Fridays and Saturdays are nice. We're home in the afternoons. And
it makes a huge difference just being at home.
Home games are a huge difference.
Besides the crowd, I mean.
Obviously the home field advantage. But
besides that.
When we leave, you know, when we have road games, we often leave on Fridays because we're going all the way to the East Coast and the time change.
Right.
So that turns it into, you know, a three-day gone weekend on our road trip. So definitely being at home is nice.
Besides playing at home, besides Qualcomm, what's your favorite stadium to play in around the country?
You know, I think Denver. And we've had some success there. That's not the only reason why, but there's something about going there. I don't know. It's a neat stadium, and the atmosphere is, and you got the Rocky Mountains. Right there. The backdrop is pretty
impressive.
What's the
crappiest stadium in the NFL? And no one wants to go to.
Yeah. Going up to Oakland's not too far.
Why did we know that was going to be the answer?
I was thinking Field, though, or you know, place, but fans, I'm sure, make a huge, huge difference as well. And they don't like you very much.
No, they don't. They don't. But it's fun to go there and win. And we've had some success there.
Do you get more up for a game against the Raiders? Well, just because you know of the rivalry in the...
Definitely. I mean, I think any division game with Denver, Kansas City, or Oakland, but then Oakland, the rivalry there in California, you know, the only team in California we play twice a year. There's definitely a rivalry there. When they come to our place, a bunch of Raider fans turn out.
Of course,
you can definitely feel the rivalry with that matchup.
Is it hard to get up for a bad team? It seems like it is sometimes for professional sports where it goes, on paper, they should destroy this team. And yet, it's an even game because it seems like maybe mentally it's different.
Yeah, well, I think not so much in the NFL. You know, basketball, they're playing 82 games. And the baseball, there's 162 games. So it's harder to maintain that focus. But with us, there's only 16 chances, and we know how important each one is. And any team can win any week. So, you know, you get those 6 days to prepare, and you gotta bring it all 16 games because you never know which one can be the one that either keeps you out of the playoffs or get you in.
Yeah, that's a great point because it may not seem like a big deal to lose a game in week four, but it could really come back to haunt you when you see what everybody else does the rest of the season.
And the number of games is right. I mean, you watch the Lakers, which is who I'm a fan of, and they can't keep at their prime the whole season. It just isn't possible. You know there's going to be lags and stuff, but I guess in the NFL with fewer games, it makes sense. You got to pretty much try to time it so that you're playing your best football going to the playoffs, but you don't have much time to really let down ever.
That's right.
We have so many more questions for our guest. Philip Rivers is in studio from the San Diego Chargers. When we come back, we'll get to our questions. We'll try to squeeze in some of yours if you want to call and talk to Philip, too, 1-800-520-1067. And we'll tell you all about the nonprofit foundation Rivers of Hope, which I know is something you're very excited about, Philip. And I think our listeners will want to be a part of that, too. All of that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Philip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you can meet Philip and lots of the Chargers and lots of the Charger girls. More importantly, it is Charger Fan Fest coming up on August 7th starting at 9 o'clock in the morning at Qualcomm Stadium, and it is free admission. I imagine you meet fans every single day when you're out tooling around San Diego. People know who you are, so you must get a lot of feedback from the paying crowds out there, huh, Philip?
Yeah, you do. It's really nice. You know, it's quite humbling, honestly. You know, you're around town, you're at a restaurant, and you know somebody recognized you and said, "Hey, this is the year. Go get them." You know, and you forget maybe how recognizable you are because you know from people seeing you on TV and games, and then you realize you know how much people care and pull for the Chargers. So it is quite neat.
Yeah, people do. I mean, you do make such a difference with the work that you do in terms of just making people, enriching people's lives because we love sports and it's an important part of our life and it means so much to the city. And of course, you're
aware
of that.
Are you going to cry?
No, I'm just
crying.
I think that's one of the reasons why we get so geeked out over professional athletes is just because, you know, it means a lot to us. That's all. Here's a question I've always wanted to ask. Is there like a fraternity of quarterbacks? Do you guys know each other? Are you friends with each other? Do you talk to some of those other guys on the phone from time to time? Or is it pretty much, hey, they're all the enemy, I'm not going to talk to them during the season?
No, I think, you know, there's a handful of guys that I know that I've talked to or maybe see at a function, you know, or a charity event that you visit with. And I always enjoy trying to meet them and hear, you know, maybe how they call plays, maybe different things they do that's helped them. And we all kind of share information and pull for one another. Certainly we compete on the field on Sundays. But
do you know Peyton Manning?
A little bit.
Can you tell him to stop shouting so many signals?
A little bit.
Can you tell him to stop that?
See, that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. See, I enjoy
he
watching.
He does that for like 45 seconds. Hike the ball.
As a quarterback, see, you get that. You kind of like
crazy.
That. It's kind of that's your one chance. You're in charge. They
all
can't
right.
go to you. Tell them to
play.
Go.
Come on now.
I can see you out there barking the signals. You use all 40 seconds of that play clock.
Maybe.
How about your boy Drew Brees, who you played with on the Chargers? Is he a guy you've kept in touch with, and how phenomenal has his success been in the last couple of years?
Yeah, Drew and I, we had a fun 2 years. We pushed one another. We competed. We had a good friendship, and we still talk and text and keep up throughout seasons, or if we play common opponents, and you know they won the Super Bowl, and I wanted to make sure I extended congratulations to him. But yeah, that was awesome for he and the Saints. You know, it was kind of neat. You could see you talk about the effect that football and sports has on
right.
the community. You could see there, I mean, the city there really, and that whole region really embraced, like they won the Super Bowl, you know, and that was really, really cool to see.
All right, one last question about the quarterbacks, camaraderie, and then we'll go to some telephone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Philip Rivers. What do you guys say about Brett Favre in the I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm back, I'm not back?
Well, you know, Fafar has always been one of my favorites. I had a poster of him on my wall as a kid, and now I'm playing in the same league as him. So right. I kind of that's pretty cool. But you know, I think this year he's done it a little better. You know, he hasn't said a word. You know, he hasn't said whether he's coming back or not. But he hadn't really played the game and done a lot of interviews. He just stayed quiet. And
so at least he hasn't come out and said no.
Right. I would fully expect him to play.
You would.
I think it's just a matter of his ankle. He's going to give some more time and maybe let training camp pass and then come out and give it another run. And what a great year. At 40 years old, he had arguably the best year of his career.
Yeah.
And played as good as any quarterback in the league. So it was pretty amazing to see.
All right, let's get some calls on the air in our remaining moments with Philip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Ruby, a question I'm sure you get asked a lot on line 4. Hi, Ruby. You're on with the QB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Hi. How you doing? Hi, Philip.
Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to ask about LT. How do you feel that he's not going to be on the team this year, and what kind of impact do you think the team's going to have?
Yeah, well, you know, LT was great for us. You know, you get used to seeing a guy for 9 years, and you kind of think he's never not going to be there. So certainly a transition period, and I think we've been through that this summer and throughout the mini camps. We'll move on, and all good things come to an end. You never thought it would happen, but it has, and we wish LT the best. We drafted a running back, Ryan Matthews, out of Fresno State. The combination of he with Darren Sproles, Tolbert, Hester, we got a good group of running backs, and I would look for our running game to be hopefully back up to speed this season.
I think this is our year.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
Speaking of our year, Kevin asked you off the air the minute you walked in the studio. I'm sure you hear it a lot whenever you're north of San Diego. A lot of talk about, of course, Los Angeles wants the Chargers to move. But that's not something the Chargers are interested in, is it?
We like it right there in San Diego. Yeah,
but could you move anyway?
You guys can. Which one? Who did I hear said has family down in San Diego? Brother, sister?
That was Ralph in the other room. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They you just come right down there and pull for us down there in San Diego.
Merriman was here, and he was telling us that about half the season tickets owners are from Orange County.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, make the trek.
Well, I tell you what, our fan base is awesome in San Diego, but we realize it extends north, extends across the border. You know, we're Southern California's only team. We kind of like it that way. So, but yeah, we appreciate all the support we get up here. I was glad to come up for a day and visit with you guys.
Let's take an interesting question from Lisa. She's on line 1, joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to ask a question of Philip Rivers, Lisa, you're up on the air. Go ahead.
Hey guys, hey Lisa, hey Phillip, hey Sellers, love ya. My question is, I also grew up with a dad that was a coach, so grew up on the field, and I'm currently refereeing high school football, and would obviously love to move up in the ranks. For you personally, honestly, would that be a distraction? Not because I'm a chick, but because you got to keep one eye on the girl, like, you're not sure, you know, being confident that there's a girl refereeing. Would that be a distraction for you? Just, you know, would you be worried about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't at all. I think, you know, obviously.
Are there female referees now?
Not that I know of. But you know, when you're in uniform, you're in the stripes. I don't think anybody too much would pay attention to, you know, male or female. And as long as you can do the job, you know. I like to argue with the referees every now and then. But
as long as you can take that, Lisa. As long as you can take the arguing, then it would be fine.
Yeah, I can take it. That's good. I got a teenager. I can take the arguing.
All right. There are girls refs in the NBA a lot. I mean, yeah, that happens a lot. I'm sorry. What, Bean?
I said, wear something tight. Would you, Lisa? Would you do that for
very
us?
Very nice.
No problem.
Thanks very much for the call. Rivers of Hope, you are very involved with placing foster children. Tell us about that, Philip.
Yeah, Rivers of Hope Foundation. My wife, Tiffany, and I started that this offseason to help unwanted, abandoned, orphan children in San Diego. And really, hopefully that will expand, but focusing in San Diego right now, since that's where we are, helping them find forever families, forever homes. So there's so many kids right there in the county.
How'd you come across this group that needed help, and how'd you decide to do it?
Well, you know, having five children of our own, we just saw the, you know, the loves of care, that they need daily, and you almost take for granted that every child gets that, but they don't. But they certainly deserve it. And just seeing and hearing the numerous stories of kids that move in six homes in 2 years, and I do a calendar with the Chargers every year that takes pictures with these kids to, you know, hopefully get them adopted. And you ask them what school they go to, and they kind of don't even know what to tell you because they've been to 3 or 4 schools. They don't, you know. So it was just really sad and hit home. And so we've set up some things, partnered with some different agencies that already exists that, that help place these kids. And looking forward to finding these kids forever.
How can people get involved in that?
RiversOfHopeFoundation.com or PhilipRivers.com. You can look at all the information there. We have a heart gallery there that takes pictures, shows pictures of these children, has a little bio of them, the kids that are available for adoption right now. You can actually see the face of these kids. You know, when they're statistic, it almost seems overwhelming. But when you can actually see the little boy, the little girl right there, and you go, you know, it may trigger you or you to tell someone else that, here's a kid that needs you. And that's where you can find a lot of information, and there's a lot of links there to some other
RiversOfHope.com. And Philip Rivers with one L in Philip is .com is the other place to go. Do you know the statistics? Does it get more difficult with older kids?
Yeah, it does.
A 15-year-old, like, no. Nobody wants the problems.
It's really hard. Often, I don't know the exact percentage, but after like 13 or 14, they often age out of the system. And I want to say maybe up to even half of those kids that age out of the system, after 18, they're on their own.
Yeah.
And they often end up homeless. I mean, they don't know. They don't have anywhere to go. So certainly, there's a better chance to get the younger kids, but focusing on helping, the Rivers of Hope, you don't want to give them hope. Give the 13, 14, 15-year-olds hope, whatever that may be, temporarily and hopefully permanently.
Here's why you're a better person than we are, because if I had five of my own kids at home, the last thing I would be wanting to do outside of the house is deal with kids. You know, I'd be looking
for
anything.
Well, you don't like kids, though.
Well, I'm just saying, you have five of them. For most people, that fills up, that's all the kid they need in their lives, you know what I mean? But here you are doing all this other work with the foster kids. So God bless you, Philip. That's outstanding. All right, so I guess we're out of time already, and I'm so sad because it's so awesome to have you in here, but there's so much promise. Every NFL fan right now thinks their team is going to win the Super Bowl. You feel the same way about yours, I bet.
We do. I think that's what makes it such a great league is, it's so competitive. Any team, any given year, there'll be a surprise team this year that goes and has a great year. There'll probably be a team that's predicted to do well that they won't do as well as you expect. And that's what makes it such a great league. And you got to, it was mentioned earlier, 16. You only get 16 shots. Yeah.
What's the biggest hurdle to get there? That between now and then, is it injuries or?
Injuries always play a factor. And then it's just a matter of playing your best late in the year, which we've done in December. We haven't lost in December in 4 years, but we keep having those hiccups in January. So we've won four straight division titles.
Not bad.
Doesn't guarantee a fifth. You know, we got to go back and make sure. You know, people want to talk about the postseason, but we got to get there first. And
That's right.
Hopefully we can have a great regular season and get another shot and go after it this year.
Well, you don't have to worry about my Seahawks standing in your way. They don't seem to do that.
We played them this year. We play Seattle.
I know you do.
We come up there. Is it week two or week three? Somewhere.
In the first 3 weeks. Yeah, sure. And I know. And Pete Carroll, obviously, we don't know what he's got planned, but the Seahawks have not been much of a hurdle for the Chargers in recent years, I guess is all I'm suggesting. All right, meet Philip and the other Chargers and the Charger girls August 7th. That's at Qualcomm Stadium. Free admission for Charger Fan Fest. Go to philiprivers.com for all the information about the Rivers of Hope and everything else going on with you. Thank you so much for coming in the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Phoenix on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:57.
I think Ralph, who's a huge NFL fan, was going to come in and hang out with Philip Rivers until he found out he doesn't swear. And then he said, I don't want to have any part of a guy who says golly.
He doesn't swear. Hello? Yeah, checking. Yeah. Is this thing on? Yeah. He doesn't swear, and he doesn't play the Eagles this season, so I don't really give a rat's ass.
I checked
the schedule. I said, is he playing? Nope. All right. Doesn't matter. Inconsequential.
Still fun to have him in on the show. No. Marilyn Rice Cub joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You knew her and loved her as Chloe on 24. She's got a one-woman comedy show she'll tell you about on the way. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
She's in.
Who's in?
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, in jail?
She's head to Linwood. Linwood up to no good, I heard.
Has she been released yet?
Not yet, no.
It takes about 45 minutes to process them first, right. Kevin.
She's being tagged and tranked. Oh. And then they release her into the wild, I think, after that. That's how it
is. Hey, I'll tell you what they do is... I tell you what they do is a cavity search. And they usually they spray you down for like lice and stuff.
Oh. Yeah. They do. They delouse you.
That's right.
Give you the hose. Hey, look, it's Gene Simmons.
How are you?
What are the odds?
Speaking of cavity checks and spraying someone down.
Yeah, all right, we got it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you.
What?
No, that's enough.
No, I understand. What's he getting?
I'd like to spray Lisa May down after checking her cavities. uh-huh. and spray her down with a certain fluid.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right.
No, I'm not
getting
any
more information.
Not yet in here. I'm sorry.
I'll explain it to you later.
I'm just not understanding.
I know, but off the air we'll get
what
to it.
What kind of fluid would you use?
It's an organic fluid.
Yeah.
All right. Off the air.
Is it like that orange oil they use for termites?
Yes.
I mean, I understand. How would that kill bugs?
Yes, it is.
I don't quite understand.
It's the orange stuff.
What's wrong with you?
I got so many things I want to say, but none of them would be on the air.
I know.
All right. Let's talk about Damages, shall we? Very popular TV show with certain critics, however, didn't ever garner the audiences that FX would have liked. Turns out, fans will get to see the show regardless. DirecTV has swooped in at the last minute to save the day. They've inked a deal with Sony to have it on the air for two more seasons on its 101 network, which is the exclusive network on DirecTV where they show concerts and original programming, and they're going to add Damages to their lineup.
How about that?
That's kind of cool. Gives you hope to shows that maybe haven't found a major audience but are still worth watching, and maybe in the future DirecTV will do more of this, and they'll have original programming to offer their subscribers, and TV shows will see to live another day. So
they could plan a whole network around shows that are canceled by other networks.
They really could. Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe is starring in his first film where he's playing something other than Harry Potter. We'll see if the audience accept him or not. The film is a gothic thriller called The Woman in Black. Daniel will play a lawyer who must travel to a remote corner of England to tend to a deceased client's papers, and then soon begins to realize there are ghostly secrets in the local village.
Ooh.
Will anybody buy him as a lawyer? Isn't he still like 15 or something? That lightning bolt scar on his forehead?
I think he's in his 20s now.
They're going to have to use a lot of makeup to cover that up.
I haven't seen any of the Harry Potter movies, but is he a good actor?
Yeah, he's fine.
He's a real good actor.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any of the Harry Potter movies?
How are you surprised by that?
He would avoid one of them. You'd have to accidentally see one of them, wouldn't
you? Well, I wasn't drugged and dragged into one. I mean, you pretty much you choose the movies you want to see.
Yeah, but they're on television all the time.
Yeah, never watched one.
Maybe bad news for fans of TV and movies. Another strike is looming on the horizon.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Now what?
The Teamsters Union this time.
Oh, I'm in favor of them, whatever they want.
Teamsters represent the drivers, the location managers, casting directors, certain craft workers, electricians. These are the people who make Hollywood work, my friends, and they are coming up at the end of their contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. They could go on strike as soon as August the 1st.
Wow.
Which would throw television production especially into a tizzy because shows are just starting to go back to work right now.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
That is totally the wrong clip. Sorry.
Wow. Does that make no sense whatsoever?
It's trying to make sense of that. Give me your last sentence again, Ralph. Let me try it again.
Wow.
Give me your last sentence.
I don't even remember what I said. What do you need? Television in particular is going into production this month.
No!
Is that a no for television going into production, or
that's for no, the TV stopping it is what it's a no for.
Okay, this is me bailing out now. Celebrity birthdays. Carlos Santana is 63 years old today. Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols is 54. Chris Cornell, Audioslave and Soundgarden. Monster bands. He is 46 years old. Stone Gossard, Pearl Jam is 44. Josh Holloway from Lost celebrates his 41st birthday. Actress Sandra Oh is 39. Singer Elliot Yameen from American Idol is 32. And supermodel Gisele Bündchen is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
When I saw the title, Marilyn Spreads Her Legs, I wanted it to be a movie, and I wanted it to be available only behind a curtain. But unfortunately, wow. No, it's a live stage show starring our friend Marilyn Ricegum, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, my dear?
Hi, guys.
We've
a good title, right?
It's a good title. I would like to start, however, with the fact that we've never had more problems getting somebody on the phone in our entire lives than you.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I have a lot of personal problems, and I almost forgot this morning to answer the phone.
Fantastic.
Because I didn't recognize the number. I was like, oh, who's calling me at home? This can't be good. Like, I completely forgot what's
Excellent.
Happening. Yeah.
I suspect that since 24 ended, you're sleeping in a lot more now, and frankly, you don't have time for the real world.
Oh, I wish that were the case.
That's not the case.
I'm working about 3 or 4 times harder than I worked on 24.
Wow. Is part of that because you're a working actor and now you have to go out and look for jobs? Is that you don't have the safety and security of knowing you're going back to CTU tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, I get a lot of mom time, so I'm half working, half mom, and I'm hustling now. I mean, not in a bad way. I'm directing more of, you know, I'm doing this comedy show and writing scripts and developing comedy, and I think that's going to be my next move.
Maryland Spreads Her Legs is the name of this one.
Yes. Something happened to me in my real life. I spread my legs.
You did that.
It's vulgar.
Right.
But let's just call it what it is.
It did happen.
People do it all the time.
That's true.
They do. That's how we all got here. And the next thing you know, you got kids. And from what I understand,
that's what happens.
Exactly. That's how it works. It's just the birds and the bees. And the show is playing at the Steve Allen Theater in Los Angeles. And you're there on Friday and Saturday nights through the summer and into the fall. But from what I understand from the early reviews I've seen, you say a lot of things about wanting to murder your children that lots of people think, but they don't really say it.
Well, I'm really proud of this work because I do talk about everything you're not supposed to say that you might be thinking,
right?
In terms of my child, this show is great for everybody of all ages except for the people who are most close to me, because I talk about comedically exaggerated versions of the relationship with my parents, relationship with Matthew, my now husband. It goes through the whole thing in kind of a gut-wrenching but very hilarious way.
Will you tell that kid to shut up? No, I'm just kidding.
Lisa May, how come you haven't seen this show yet? You've seen 20 plays in the last month.
It's definitely on my list. That is absolutely for sure. I love one-person shows. There's so much work, but they're just
fascinating.
They're
work for her, not for you.
Well, I know, and I appreciate that.
Stand-up, and, with my stand-up, I will do again, and it's really fun, but the one-person show is a whole nother level of storytelling, and we developed these characters, and I worked with the director, and I actually rehearsed, which is, a new thing for me.
I don't know how much you get a chance to talk to your audience members when you're out there doing your show or afterwards, but do they know what to expect when they come to see you? I mean, are these people who...
Somebody's got an opinion.
Do you need help?
I was just wondering if these are people who know you as a comedian, or do you get a lot of people coming in there because they know you from being Chloe?
I get a big mixture of very odd crowd members, and I always peek at the audience and see, is it like regular theater goers who don't know what to expect? Is it 24 fans? Is it comedy fans? And it's always a really interesting, unexpected mix, and I never know.
So you can never kind of tell.
Yeah. Well, I know you got to get rid of that kid. I do know that. I've determined that just based on this phone call. That kid has got to be shipped out.
You going to add that to your show?
That kid has got to go.
Yep.
Well, in the show, we talk about throwing a baby off a ledge, putting a baby in the oven.
Good times.
It's a good time.
All right.
Now we're talking. I think a lot of parents will be living vicariously through your stories. You can see the show on stage Fridays and Saturdays through October at the Steve Allen Theater, which is at 4773 Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. SteveAllenTheater.com is the website address. Mary Lynn, we love you. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm so happy I got to talk to you guys. I got worried there.
So are we, and so did we. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:35.
I know you guys are excited about broadcasting from San Diego for Comic-Con later this week. But Lightning's got to set up in some gearhead's garage on Friday. I mean, I don't care. I don't want to go down there and see a guy working on cars and motorcycles.
Douchebag of biblical proportions.
One of Lightning's friends named Britt Reed apparently is having us broadcast from his stupid garage on
Britt
Friday.
Britt Reed is the publisher of the Daily Sentinel and the media conglomerate therein, and also occasionally will put on the mask, hat, and cloak of an Avenger known as The Green Hornet.
What is that? Game music? What are you doing there?
He fights the most dangerous of all game. Criminals.
Well, that's where we're going to be broadcasting live Friday. It is free and open to the public. We'll have the details up at kevinandbean.com, the exact address, but we're going to be down there right by Petco Park in San Diego, broadcasting live for Comic-Con on Friday with lots of special guests, including our friend Will Ferrell stopping by and Adam Sessler. I believe Kevin Smith is coming on by. A bunch more.
The Green Hornet himself, Seth Rogen, will be there.
I
think Jay Chou, too. I think Kato will be there.
So anyway, kevinandbean.com if you want details. If you're going down to Comic-Con, you want to stop by and see the live broadcast on Friday, we'd be delighted to have you. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Bean on a Tuesday. What's going on?
And by we, Bean means us.
Nobody would be delighted to have you less than Bean, but the rest of us would be happy to see you.
Green Hornet, by the way, shot not only in 3D,
yeah,
coming to a theater near you, but in Kato Vision,
which is
sweet.
I mean, is what? What does that mean?
It is a...
What does Kato Vision mean?
Everything looks yellow?
Come on.
What? I've tried to visualize.
What does it mean?
It means that when Kato fights,
yeah,
when he does his martial arts, it's shot in such a way that you have never seen anything like it before in fight sequences. It is especially digitally altered to have a specific look unique to the Green Hornet Enterprise, and this will be known as Kato Vision. It's how Kato sees the battle as he's fighting. He sees it in advance and in the same time and in a current. He sees it things as they are, as they will be, and all as right. they were.
Okay.
At all times. That's the awareness he has.
Can't wait. All right.
We have a clip.
Kato Vision. It does look impressive. I got to give you that, Vision.
Now, does Kato do kung fu, or does he? What is he? What's his specialty?
Where have you been your whole life?
What's
Kato is a master of several forms of martial arts, including karate, judo, kung fu. He is a master warrior. It's kind of unfair. The Green Hornet gets all the credit, and Kato does all the work. Really. Kato drives the Black Beauty, he builds the car, he puts everything together, he does most of the fighting. Green Hornet kind of sits back.
He's just a lazy F?
Yeah, kind of. He gets to write him a check every once in a while. But other than that, it's always been an uneven partnership, in my opinion.
All right.
Did you know that Britt Reed, who's the secret identity of the Green Hornet...
I can't wait for this to be over.
...is actually the great-grandnephew of the Lone Ranger... They're related. Okay. The Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet are related.
Okay, you're saying that as if it's in real life and it's amazing, but they're both made up, so anybody could be related to anybody.
Or are they?
Yes.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
They're related.
I mean, the Green Hornet could be Lone Ranger related. Right, the Green Hornet could be President Reagan's kid if we wanted him to be. It's just whatever you make up. You could just write it down.
You ever see Ron Reagan Jr.?
Dancing ballet?
I'm the Pink Hornet.
It'd be the Pink Hornet, but not the Green Hornet. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we know.
Isn't
what
that
you're
cool,
saying.
Though, that the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet are related?
It really isn't at all.
Isn't that kind of cool?
No. I'm only speaking for myself. Lisa?
Not that cool. Wow.
Bean?
If they were real people and they were really related, yeah, I'd be fascinated. But the fact that it's made up, no, it means
nothing. It's even more cool that two famous fictional characters are, in fact, related. A little known fact about two major, major fictional characters.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. No.
Ralph, no. Maybe she's stalled. Maybe it's best you just stay home on Friday. Maybe
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
Because my people are going to be surrounding you.
And I can't wait to
mock
them.
You're going to be happy.
Oh, I'll be happy. I'll be like a pig in slop. It's going to be nerdtastic.
Mel Gibson. Oh, I hope he'll come down.
Yeah!
So
that'd
be
awesome.
With his beaver on his hand. He, of course, stars in The Beaver, the new Jodie Foster film.
Would you explain beaver in his hand, would you, just for people
who
don't
know? He is a man who can only relate to people talking via a beaver hand puppet that he wears constantly. There's Mel there, expressing himself with his beaver. Here is some additional audio on Radar Online. They've released yet another snippet of his lengthy phone conversations with Oksana Grigorieva.
Is it getting to the point where we can just say, listen, just put it all out there?
I think it's all out now.
All right.
This is him going ballistic She calls him a monster initially, and then he demands full custody of the child they share together, Lucia.
You're a monster!
Okay, you're yelling now?
Okay. Mel, you're imbalanced.
Shut up! You
You cannot raise this child with this symptoms.
What?
You're acting as a crazy man right now. And you have been for many, many months. And you hit me and you hit her whilst she was in my hands. You need medication.
You need a kick up the for being a bitch, gold-digging whore with a son. And I want my child, and no one will believe you. So you. And I'm not giving you my house, and you can rot unless you crawl back my and say you're sorry in that order.
Wow, that order.
He likes.
What's that order?
He likes himself oral.
Yeah, he does. He demands
that's what
it.
We're getting,
he likes that a little more than
sure.
most.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's got. Look, you can say he's crazy, but I don't think so. He's very rational. I think he's got a clear-cut set of conditions on which he will accept her back. She has to crawl on her hands and knees.
Yes.
She's got to perp him.
Right.
And then she's got to say she's sorry.
And then
and if that happens, all's good.
In that order!
Now, I have another
minute. In that order, we're all good.
I have another minute and a half. You want me to?
We got nothing but time.
Keep going? All right, here's some more.
You understand me. You offend my maleness,
right.
My masculinity, my being, my soul. And you call me a sinner. You're a moving violation. If you get raped, it's your fault for sure. Showing up your fake.
Yeah, well, they are fake.
Have you said everything?
I said nothing.
Yeah, you said something.
You need to say a lot.
You did say a lot.
To assuage my insanity because you made me this way.
I didn't make you this
you
way.
Did so.
You were born this way.
What are you, a expert?
Yes. You have a schizophrenia.
Because
you're born like this, my dear. Nobody would dare tell you that. You're paying them money, for God's sake.
What?
Nobody will tell you that. You're paying them money.
Oh, like you, huh?
He needs his ears checked, too. He can't understand.
What?
What? He says like 50 times.
I think he's more bipolar than has a schizophrenia.
Oh, well, that's possible, too, yeah.
Yeah.
You want more? I still have another.
I'm dying. Are you sure?
I don't need anything from you, okay? I will disappear from your life just like I came in.
Credit card, you callous. You never even say thank you.
Yes, I have. Many times.
I say thank you every 5 goddamn minutes. And not call me mean. And not look at me sideways. Just my.
Don't call me mean.
He's asking for that act again.
Dad, you or that's all you're good for. That's about all you're good at. That's better than music. You there?
There?
Oh my God!
I haven't heard her music, but I bet she's not as good at music as she is at
I agree. I agree.
He's probably right.
He's probably right.
Look,
about that
I'm no relationship expert. I think those kids have a chance, though. I think they could work it out. I think they could get back together.
A little therapy?
Right, I think so.
In. All right.
Poor Rachel Yucatel. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. She wanted to do Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump asked her to be on. She accepted, but she wanted to clean her act up before she did. So she also accepted an offer to be on Celebrity Rehab. Well,
okay. That
was a mistake, at least in the eyes of the Donald. He has announced he is no longer interested in having Rachel on his show. He told TMZ.com she made a terrible decision, and now I have zero interest in having her on Celebrity Apprentice.
Terrible decision?
Yes. How dare she get sober and clean?
That's weird. He's usually semi-PR savvy, isn't
he?
I think he's cheesed off because now Celebrity Rehab will grab the notoriety of being her first big television appearance, and he wanted to break her on Celebrity Apprentice.
I guess. Yeah.
I guess the terrible decision he's claiming she made is to choose to do rehab before Apprentice.
Right, so stay effed up until he's done with her.
Look, a little bit longer being effed up, Kevin, really isn't going to hurt anybody.
All right.
You're effed up, for 8 years, 8.5 years? All of a sudden, you're going to go off the rails? Come on, all Kevin. Right. You know drug use is safe for the most part.
That's true.
That's so, Dr. Drew. Poor Rachel. We wish her all the best. And you guys, were you big Free Willy fans?
No.
Did you enjoy the Free Willy motion pictures?
Not so much.
No.
Well, then you're going to hate this. Now, this story, just the story of it makes me tear up a little bit. I may be overly sensitive. I've been accused of that before.
Yeah, that's your problem.
But it's called Dolphin Tale, a Dolphin Tale, and it's about Winter the Dolphin. I don't know if you know the true story of Winter the Dolphin. But Winter the Dolphin was a dolphin who lost her tail in a crab trap.
Okay.
snapped it off.
Is this a real
story? She was a tailless. What do you think?
I don't know.
It's not a Polish dolphin. This isn't a joke.
All right.
She got her tail snapped off in a crab trap. A young boy found her and convinced the Clearwater Marine Aquarium to fabricate a prosthetic tail for her to replace the one she lost. First time it had ever been done. Okay. They built her a prosthetic tail, and now she's right as rain. Learned how to swim with a fake tail, and now is all is well.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Nothing to do with Taco Bell. Isn't that a heartwarming tale about a boy and his dolphin?
Yes.
I guess.
And he's the...
Man, you people have no
hearts.
He's
the nephew of the Green Hornet?
You have no hearts. No hearts. I'm just saying. That is a touching, touching story. And I think it'll be for children of all ages.
You know, Lisa May.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Gene Simmons is here.
Yeah, Gene.
I'm interested in breaking something off in a crab trap as well.
Wow. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah! Yeah!
Well, you can't yeah yourself.
I'm not Gene.
That's the best Gene Simmons.
Come on now.
Yet. Come on, that was awesome. Better than speaking of polls, Lisa May, whatever we usually get.
That's true.
And that guy had sex with her. Speaking of having sex with someone, Lisa May, that's what we usually get. At least that was a little creative.
That's a terrible idea.
That was a great idea. And lastly, Mike, the Situation Sorrentino. Wants to help you help yourself. The New York Post announces today that he has got a deal to write a book.
Yes.
A tell-all book about the essentials of life, like hitting the gym, tanning, doing your laundry.
Right.
And this way you can read it and be just like the situation.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
I need life advice from that guy.
Hopefully, if you follow his rules, you will not be excluded from any of those nights. By the way, I heard Lindsay's got her jumpsuit on.
Is that right?
She's got the jumpsuit on.
Oh, good news.
She's wearing the jumpsuit. Back to you, Jim. You get a lot of that tonight. You get a lot of those updates.
All night tonight. They're going to have nothing to say, but they're going to say it for a long time.
Today's Tuesday means new CDs and DVDs in stores. Here's what's on DVD, The Runaways, story of the band of the same name with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. Cop Out, our buddy Kevin Smith's cop comedy with Bruce Willis, Tracy Morgan. The Losers, action-adventure comedy starring Zoe Saldana, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That looked Chris good Evans. To me, but I never got a chance to go see it.
Likewise, I'm looking forward to it on the on the DVD.
I can't wait for that.
CDs, Wild Trapeze by Brandon Boyd. This little solo project is available today. The Jersey Shore soundtrack and 100 Miles from Memphis, a new CD from Sheryl Crow, is available. By the way, speaking of Jersey Shore, the Jersey Shore Uncensored Season 1 is available on DVD as well. So in case you want to see what they're really like, you can see what was too hot for television at the Jersey Shore. Today's celebrity birthday is Carlos Santana. He's 63 years old today.
Hard Rock, the joint at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas is where he has his residency.
He lives in the joint? That's got to be unwieldy.
Well, he might have a room, but he's one of those artists who has decided to stay off the road and let the fans come to him. So he's there a couple weeks a month if you want to see Santana in concert.
You could go see him, Bean, then you can go across the street and see Barry Manilow, and then Donnie Marie. You could make it a night.
There you go.
His head would explode.
Yes. Paul Cook of Sex Pistols, 54 years old today. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 46. Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam turns 44 years old today. Josh Holloway from Lost Fame is 41. Sandra Oh from Grey's Anatomy is 39 years old. Elliot Yamin from American Idol. No, he had his teeth fixed.
Oh!
Yeah, he looks good. And by the way, did you see... Jenny Snaggletooth, the one from last year's American Idol?
The Crystal Bower Sox?
Yeah, they finally spackled her grill all up.
Oh, my God.
She had all kinds of summer teeth going on inside her mouth. Summer over here, summer over there.
And they spackle it?
They spackled her up, and they made it look all pearly white. So now her mouth is operational now.
I want to applaud Gene Simmons for not stepping in on the spackle comedy, too, by the way.
A team of eight guys to hold him back from the microphone. And Gisele Bündchen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Supermodel, legend. Who's she with these days?
Roman Helmut.
Tom Brady? Or is that someone else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. She's having babies and whatnot, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We should ask Phil Rivers if he's banging any supermodels. Did you get around to that question when he was
Been with his wife since they were in the seventh grade.
Yeah, okay. Didn't answer the question. The question was, is he banging any supermodels?
I don't think Mr. Rivers is. Yeah,
once again, not the question.
And he says golly instead
question
of...
Question was, is he banging any supermodels?
Well, we're just guessing the answer there would be no.
Gisele Bündchen is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. We want to talk to you if you were in jail and you were a woman.
Woohoo!
We can find out what women prison is like, because I'm sure it's very different from our man perspective.
There was a time on television where there was a spate of girl in prison telemovies.
Yes.
And that was, I consider, the golden age of television.
And it was all like softcore
born innocent.
Much, yeah. Right.
Born with a... No, I can't say that.
You can't say that. So anyway, we want to talk to you tomorrow if you were in jail and you were a woman. We also would... we're going to talk to Rick Fox, former Laker.
Yeah.
Going to talk to him. We have Kevin Smith, I believe, will be by tomorrow.
He will.
Double checking that. Bean's Hero will be on tomorrow's show. He is a guy who writes letters to newspapers.
Wow. How does he... Wow.
He does that. He does that a lot, Ralph.
That's like superhuman. We should have him at Comic-Con. And Bean sounds like he's got special powers.
And Bean said, oh my God, I've got to tape this.
The guy who writes letters?
To newspapers. He writes letters to the editor all over the country.
That's unbelievable. Wait a minute. You said he's going to be on our show tomorrow?
It's the most nothing story you've ever seen. And
was
Bean,
there a vote taken?
No. But Bean has never been more excited about a guy than this.
But you know he's a guy who writes letters,
I
right?
I do know that, yes. He's Bean's hero. Doesn't Bean deserve one? One break of his hero. Oh, you think?
Yeah, okay.
Plus, we're going to mock him. And we have Doug Klein tomorrow, who has written the unauthorized San Diego Comic-Con Survival Guide.
It's a good book. I had took a look at it, and it will get you through the weekend if you're going down to San Diego this weekend.
Which we will be as well. Ralph will be down there on Thursday. The whole show will be down there on Friday. And that is tomorrow morning's all new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Weezer. Also, Linkin Park. We got Paramore, The Toadies, and Nirvana. Where else are you going to get that? Coming up right after this on K-Rock.